What up, everybody? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Auto Tempest. You know how Auto Tempest works. It makes your life easier by handling your double work for you. Why search all of the car sites on the internet yourself when there's a site that does that job for you? AutoTempest.com looks at all the major car sites, a bunch of the minor car sites, and you only have to type in your information for what you're searching for. One time. And pretty soon it's going to be even better because they're integrating a new function that I can't say yet, but it's a new marketplace of vehicles. And that's going to be coming to Auto Tempest Search very soon. They have been great to us over the years. So when you're looking for a car, do us a favor by going to Auto Tempest and doing yourself a favor by going to Auto Tempest because you are saving yourself time. And time, people, is money. AutoTempest.com. We love them. Next up, look into your hood. Maybe your check engine light comes on. What are you gonna do? What do you do? Step one, get yourself a Blue Driver Pro Scan Tool. Blue Driver can read all the computer systems in your vehicle, tell you what the problem is, and suggest solutions from a database of millions of ASE verified fixes. Then fix the problem yourself or head to the garage armed with knowledge. Either way, you're in control. Plus, Blue Driver can do so much more than just read codes. View live data from your vehicle, read freeze frame and mode 6, do a smog check, stay up to date on recalls and service bulletins, and much more. That's why Blue Driver is the best-selling scan tool on Amazon. Don't take our word for it. Check out the thousands of positive reviews on Amazon, reviews written by real people who saved a ton of time and money with Blue Driver. For a limited time, take advantage of the special Smoking Tire offer. Visit bluedriver.com/TST. That's bluedriver.com/TST to get 10% off the Blue Driver Pro Scan Tool. Don't let your car troubles be a mystery again, get Blue Driver today at bluedriver.com/TST. And how about that Brio Beardscape, folks? I broke it out last night. I was getting awful scruffy. You're going to see in my BMW M5 review how scruffy I got. And the Beardscape is so money. It's like, everybody hates working on your car with cheap, crappy tools, right? You want to use good quality tools. You know they're going to last. You know they're going to help your life, not make it more annoying. Same thing with the buzzer. Stop using that cheap trimmer and upgrade to a smooth, quiet, precision trimming device. The Beardscape is the jam. I've been using it for like 2 years. I buzz my face, then I shave with the razor, and then I look good. I also use it in other places that you probably don't want to think about. But it be what it be, man. That's what happens when you have a 98% male listening ratio. You get to talk about your ball hair. The Beardscape has a ceramic blade, 4 times harder than stainless steel and stays sharp longer. The micro adjustments on the blade help you get that precision shave. Go to Brio for Life. That's Brio, the number 4, life.com, and use code SMOKING to get the best price online for the Beardscape. That's Brio for Life.com. Code SMOKING at checkout. Get the best price on the internet for that Brio Beardscape joint. All right, this week on the show, it's a good week, folks. This episode is Andrew Collins of Jalopnik, the man who almost lost his hand on his wedding day, is now back in the game, feeling good, minus a finger, but it's all right. You only need 9 anyway, am I right, folks? And he's back in studio, and we're talking about old cars and old cars, really, mostly. Andrew Collins on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
Someone named Shitty Wheelies. I can identify
shitty
with that.
Shitty Wheelies. You know what was a shitty wheelie? Meek Mill's wheelie.
Oh, yeah?
I've been watching Free Meek on Amazon. Meek Mill got fucked. I didn't even like Meek Mill's music before particularly. I didn't really know anything about him. A, his music's very good. And B, he got fucking so fucked by the system.
I have no idea what happened to him.
No.
Meek Mill was a rapper.
Okay.
Who was a rapper from a young age. And he had some cousins who were drug dealers in Philly. Huge shocker. Okay? He was leaving their house. This is as a youngster, way before he was the famous one. Andrew Collins from Jalopnik. Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Dive into Meek Mill. And his side of the story is that He was carrying a gun. Some cops were planning to raid the house and were rolling up as he was like leaving to go to the store. He saw the cops, freaked out, took the gun out of his waistband, put it on the ground, and put his hands up. Okay? The cops' version of the story is that he pointed the gun at all five of us. Now, he is alive, and he was not shot at during this encounter. He was arrested.
Right.
And Jesus. He did time for alleged, for a pointing a gun at right. cops, basically, and being associated with crack dealers or whatever it was. But then he subsequently is on the longest probation ever, and he keeps seemingly getting violated for things that are problems with the probation system, but that are very standard for anyone in the entertainment business. Like, a video shoot location gets moved across town, and he doesn't tell his PO, and he gets violated. You know what I mean? Like, stupid shit. Anyway, I'm on, like, episode 4, and it's fucking crazy!
Was it on Netflix?
It's, I think, Amazon Prime.
Wow.
It's fucking crazy. What up, Andrew?
Hey, good Welcome. To see you, man. Thanks.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
It's a heavy day. No, I... I saw you the other day in the Scout. I didn't know it was you. You did know it was me because I was in a GT3 RS.
Yeah, I saw white Porsche wing, Florida plates. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I bet I know whoever's in that car.
Drug dealer or a journalist. Tax evasion or...
So I was like, sure enough.
Yeah. It's a cool spec, that car, isn't it?
Which, you have an RS, right?
It's an RS, yeah. And it's like, it's, it's all white with just a little green lip highlight and a green brake caliper. And so it really looks a lot like a body in white. It looks exactly
the natural lime
it
claw
looks
spec.
Like Zach's lime white claw.
The worst flavor.
That's not a good flavor.
No, it's not. But it's funny. GT3 RS spec.
You know what does have a good flavor? The English. This is the guys from Lotus. Russell, the head designer from Lotus, brought this as a gift.
Is that wine or liquor?
It's whiskey.
Oh, it's whiskey.
It's whiskey. It's from, like, the town. It's from, like,
Ethel.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, up the road.
Nice.
It's tasty. But, yeah, the RS, you can see it from a mile away. But it's like a body in white race car. It's very cool.
This, yeah, they're very
this
cool.
This tastes like a JV whiskey that really should be playing varsity scotch. It's like, you're pretty tall for your age. You were held back 3 years.
Yeah, it's like some like little
some
local
smoke
shit, but it's like... It's,
no, it's good.
It's got that 2,000 electric horsepower, the Lotus Evija. Behind it.
Is that how you pronounce that? Evija?
Evija. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad someone was here to tell me. I was like, Evija?
Yeah, right.
I fucked it up to their face like 3 times. I should just let them say it.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat looking.
It looks very cool.
It does.
It's a little Dyson vacuum-esque, but it's all right.
Well, we're getting really very, like, with the new, like, Aston One and the, like, they're all getting real crazy. We've gone full F-Zero.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Evija is
true.
Very F-Zero. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, like, between the numbers and I think the name and then the shape and the open space they can do with the electric cars, it's just...
Yeah. Whew.
It was like the McLaren Senna, kind of the crossing point where it was like, all right, we're just going
where
crazy
now.
Like now the design.
Is the time.
Or the Apollo IE or whatever. That thing's
or
freaking
the,
insane.
What was the original one? The Tremonto? No, not the Tremonto. What was the thing that Jeremy Clarkson drove? Like the Caparo T1.
Oh, God.
The Caparo T1. Like,
just like totally out
every
there.
Time someone tried to drive it, it was a complete disaster, but it looked fucking crazy.
Right.
Oops, that's you too.
Yeah, that was, but I think, when they built the Senna, and it was as ugly as it was, and then it sold right out.
Yeah.
Well,
do you think,
we're there.
Do you think nowadays, though, like, there are so many limited editions, and we've said, like, there's so much money that everything will sell out because someone could at least flip it 6 months later?
Like, sure seems like it.
It does. It seems like the market, like, at the very top end, it seems like, everyone's just fuck. Let's. What else can we get? What do we got? How many one-off like Pininfarina? Like
it's
projects?
It's almost
like,
dot com ish of like every limited thing's amazing. Everything's going up in value. Everything's incredible. And then the what's that car they're building in Dubai?
Oh, is this the W Motors?
No. It's the one that looks kind of like a New Age Cobra.
Oh, ooh, what? Interesting. Can you go to the wide, Zach?
I gotta look it up.
I can't stand looking at myself when we're all here and it's just lingering on me. I hate myself.
I'll figure out. You guys talk.
I was at this Sunset GT thing, because you can always count on Dubai for some fucking wild shit, right? And someone brought out something from Dubai. I think the company's called W Motors. Yeah, the Lycan Hypersport, right?
Oh, yeah, from the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, jump. Yeah. But yeah. I think this company, like, made a new car. They have a new car that's... If I tried to pronounce the name, it would just come out as something very racist, but it's not. But I asked the guy what engine it was, and it was a Roof. The engines are supplied by Roof. Wow. And I was like, oh,
not kidding around.
Oh, this is it. Yeah, the W Motors.
What? They made the Lycan.
Yeah. So what's this car they've got? It's not the Lycan. The white one. That's the one I saw at this. I saw it from 50 feet away. You go, well, that's from Dubai.
Yeah. A lot of angles.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. It's incredibly aggressive, but apparently a Roof powertrain. It reminded me of that Zenvo ST1 thing. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. Yep. The Dutch hypercars. Was it
Danish?
Danish. Sorry. Danish. Right. Of course.
But actually kind of pretty. Like that one is sort of pretty. Yeah. I don't think catching on fire on Top Gear is good for business.
Probably not great.
No, the fender.
Wow, that's
fender.
That's a good shot, actually.
That's a good shot, but
it looks very Drew Phillips. Does that see? You can tell Fenner Super Sport, FENYR. See, now you understand. If I tried to guess at that, I'd end up on something very racist. That's a great photo, but it also like kind of looks like a Dali painting. Like it's melting.
It's very abstract. Yeah, it's wacky.
It's like it's real like concept art kind of piece.
It's like a Picasso NSX.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, if Roof's making the motor and it looks like that, it's got to be like 800 horsepower minimum, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it'll be engineered well, or you know, the powertrain will, which is very good.
Yeah, you always wonder what like suspension situation is with a car like that. It's like who's making it?
I don't know. I mean, you know, but I'll tell you what, in Beverly Hills, I went to this
show. Heartbeat of America.
This show was the yeeziest of car shows. Everybody was wearing $3,000 sweatpants and
good,
Yeezys.
Good.
And there were like 6 Koenigseggs and 4 Sennas, and Schmee was there.
Oh, good, good, okay.
People were rolling their eyes at that thing. and this was in like central douche casting. And then it was like, oh man, what is that, Zach?
Is that Cobra you're talking about?
This is what I was trying to think of, the Generelli design.
Oh, this guy I think wants to come on the podcast. His PR guy hit me up. I think it's a guy named Al Generelli is his name. And it looks very Cobra-esque and kind of like a Lister a little bit.
It's very good looking. I noticed on Instagram the other day, and someone can correct me, one of you guys can, I think it's like rear engine because it's got vents in the back.
I have
no idea.
You're
looking at the website.
Can we get another picture of it?
Get a butt pick.
There are some vents back there over the right side.
Maybe it's rear radiator, which would make sense. Why is this not opening?
What is going on?
For today's gentleman driver.
Is that actually what it
says? That's what it says.
Oh, wow. I mean, they own it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, right.
At least it's not like, you know, for Mark Webber, and it will make you Mark Webber. Whoa, look at the coupe.
It's almost Spyker-esque in the back.
It's like
it's a really good looking.
GT40, it's got Spyker, it's got Cobra.
That is interesting.
Is that rear? I have no idea where the engine is. It does look rear engine, doesn't it?
I mean, it's pretty clearly got like, back. It's got the drop scoop like a 4GT, so there's cooling happening under there. I couldn't find an engine shot.
Let's do this.
Come on down. It's funny that how many of these cars exist that I clearly don't even know about.
Yeah,
it's
like there's so many.
This weird hypercar realm.
Micro
is not one.
Micro brands, right?
Yeah.
Dude, and Glickenhaus's game is on fire now. How fun does that boot thing
look? Dude, that's wild. Yeah.
Glickenhaus is a nut, man. He spends his money right.
Clearly.
Like, he wants to be Enzo Ferrari so badly.
Seems that way.
But his cars are fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Jethro said his car, Jethro got to drive his car at the Nürburgring.
Yeah?
He said it was
good?
Terrifying.
He said, but good.
No, good, but terrifying because of the pressure of driving for a guy who's got, like, everything into, like, 2 cars. Like, literally 2.
Right.
Not just these 2. Like, these are the 2.
Yeah.
You know? So he was, but he's fucking committed, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
He's building a factory in, I think, Danbury. Can you pull up the Scuderia Cameron Glickenhaus website? I think his factory is right next door to where Farnbacher Lowell's was back in the day. It's so weird that this East Coast car thing, car people, like these same locations keep getting revisited. This Farnbacher Lowell's Porsche place that we used to fuck around with back in the day, our friend was like the PR guy from there, but like it turned out to be a big scam. This dude, Greg Lowell's, stole all the money from churches.
Oh, God.
And like, and stole all the money and went racing. But like, Lee Keen raced for them, and a bunch of other racing drivers who I know from all over used to race for them. And also, I think Clickenhouse either bought their building or the building next door to theirs.
Huh.
It's like next to the Danbury Airport.
I know, they don't have an address up, but.
Yeah, so, they launched that like early 2019. I feel like launched the idea of it, and they said we're gonna put license plates on it. It's gonna be street legal, Baja Racing, and like we challenge any other OEM to. But we'll see. They built one.
His shtick is you drive it to the racetrack then you drive it home.
Right.
And he's doing that with the Nürburgring cars too.
Mm-hmm.
He drives them to the Nürburgring and then races them in the 24 and drives them back.
And didn't he win like his class with the P45? Like his cars are engineered.
I don't know if
correctly.
That one did. The SCG like, podiumed.
Yeah, like they're, like, they are legit.
Yeah.
They're well engineered and they win shit.
Yeah.
You know?
At one point he tried to do this to float this powertrain swap thing where you'd have this, I think it was a Honda V8 twin turbo, and it was the engine, the gearbox, and the entire rear subframe. And you'd have it on like a pallet. And then you'd have another one that was like a twin turbo V8, like an M5 engine on a sort of similar subframe on another pallet. And you could drive it to the track, you know, drive it on the street on this one CARB certified engine that made like 700 horsepower. You drive to the track and like hot swap in this other drivetrain.
So you skateboard, you do the skateboard move like
electric
vehicle.
Yeah, it would
vehicle.
Have like, wow. You know, a jack setup.
What?
And then you just do, and it would be like, I don't know, a bunch of bolts, but like your race team would do it.
A bunch of bolts.
And then
a lot
you'd
of bolts.
And then
a lot
you'd,
of bolts.
Yeah, so many you'd bolts. Race on the race engine, and then you'd put the other powertrain and then drive the fucking thing home.
Jesus.
Would it just be the engine would change, or was it like?
It was engine, gearbox, and like the rear subframe.
So like
you
part
drop
of the suspension.
The whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah,
just have two cars.
A trailer, man. This guy needs to learn about trailers.
Like, Jim, no one literally wants to do this.
Yeah, no,
eventually I think he just settled on having one engine and racing.
Portable.
And adapting the homologated race engine to just like work on the street was easier than trying to deal with two fucking engines.
Yeah.
That's like a lot of commitment. But then this boot thing is from this Steve McQueen boot.
Right.
Which is... It's not a good-looking vehicle.
No.
It's a weird-looking thing.
Steve McQueen, not so famously, not super successful with that car.
No. But, oh, there, that's a good picture. Yeah.
It did go on to win races. I did some research when I was reading
about
this.
Tell us about the original.
So the original one was basically like this weird like hodgepodge project from this GM engineer. And the whole thing was like, oh, you've only got like whatever, like 3 months to build. It was some ridiculously short timeline in the 60s. When
was this a Discovery Channel show?
Yeah.
You've got 3 months to get it to auction.
Yeah, exactly. And
bedtime to Baja. Three.
And I think McQueen did drive it in one of its first competitions.
That's different, Zach. That's the Manx buggy.
Yeah, they did some race in I want to say Arizona, and then they did the Baja 500 in like 69 or 67. Neither of which McQueen finished, but you know
because of mechanicals.
Yeah. I'm sure the attrition rate was ridiculous back then.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to go.
I mean, it doesn't exactly look durable. Does
no,
it?
I mean, there's nothing to it.
It's like a frame with sort of a body, but basically just something that holds like a tarp above your head.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's got an engine and tires.
It's basically just the cab of a Scout,
right,
with wheels outside it
and rear engine or mid engine, I guess.
Yeah.
And
it is mid
balloon tires.
And
too.
Then I think like McQueen owned it personally.
He did,
and then sold it. And then like the next person who bought it, like actually like they sort of went back and like fixed the stuff that was kind of janky and ended up winning some races with it.
I'm not that into McQueen, but
yeah, I don't really care about him either way. But yeah,
but if you're gonna like you know. Corolla's like collecting all Paul Newman shit.
Yeah.
He's not out there building like a new homologation Paul Newman race car. You get like not to shit on Adam by any means. I'm just goofing because he's a collector and he goes out and races those cars. God bless him.
He's hardcore.
Yeah, he's like I asked him about that 935 he bought, the $5 million one he bought. And he's like, I was like, how is it? He goes, the fucking chassis tweaked. I got to pull it. I was like, you're going to pull the chassis on that and not just like, I don't know, not race it anymore? Yeah. And he's like, I got to fucking race the thing. I was like, oh my God.
All right.
Like,
I can respect
good
that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But Jim's out here going, you know, this experience is cool. Like, we should do this again. And like, I mean, I think. God, did he? I think it's a very faithful tribute.
Yeah, cosmetically, really it's pretty fucking close.
Do you know, like, I guess, was that what he wanted to do? He thought this vehicle that Steve drove was so cool that he wanted to tribute to it? And like, is this any more capable than any other kind of off-roader? And is it just a tribute?
I'm not convinced it is. I mean, it looks similar. It's a pretty, you know, it's kind of built like a UTV, really, which is good. Because Glickenhaus owns the original boot.
He does.
He's had it for a long time. Yeah. So I think he just really likes that particular thing. Maybe he likes the backstory, and
he might know something we don't know.
He might,
because he's driven it.
That's
so
true.
We haven't driven it. That thing might drive awesome.
Yeah.
It might be the most fun thing he's ever driven on dirt. Yeah. And gone, you know, we can do something with this.
Well, I mean, a lot of the, like, you know, the UTVs. Trophy trucks, a lot of those people have moved like to mid-engine, or they put a lot of weight in the mid-back because you know, it's more balanced and everything. So
a lot of mid off-road race cars are set up
and
like
also that, as an, or like, you know, if you're trying to sell the kind of, like,
right,
he's trying to make it street legal, that's the thing, and like, you know, off-road shit for the street is pretty hot right now. This will bring the boomers in on the trend,
and the McQueen tie-in is good for that too. I feel like, definitely,
you know what I really like from, if we want, it's a stretch from McQueen, but do you remember the Pierce Brosnan Thomas Crown Affair?
Yeah, hell yeah.
With the six-wheeled Mustang?
No, that I don't remember
at
all.
Do you remember that? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't a six-wheeled Mustang. It was a six-wheeled Jeep that followed this Mustang that they had that had, like, off-road tires on it. It was like a safaried Shelby GT500.
Wow. Clearly, I don't remember that movie.
When he takes her to the private island.
Oh, yeah, and he goes, the doors are welded.
Like,
and he, like, jumps in.
The doors are welded. Throw your leg over.
It's like
a straight-up safaried
GT500
KR convertible.
God, I got to do a blog about this. This is awesome.
You don't remember this?
No.
Dude,
I've watched
the Pierce Brosnan Thomas Crown Affair like a million times, and every time when we were building my 911, like, I really was kind of thinking about this. Like, Pierce Brosnan on his private island.
Hell yeah.
Banging Rene Russo in this off-road Mustang. With the hellos
and
the robot.
And the tire on the back.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Somebody
God.
Call Glickenhaus, dude. Let's go.
All right, I'm watching this when I get home. This looks awesome.
I mean, but how great does that look?
Oh, it looks freaking amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
I'm shocked nobody's replicated that. This safari look is so hot right now.
And, I mean, is it me or is that the Steve McQueen bullet color?
It's darn similar if it's not exactly
it's close,
the same.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a little darker, but yeah, that's awesome.
And it's
awesome.
On like a torque, awesome. A little torque thrust, like 14.
It looks great.
With 30-inch tires.
Yeah,
it's looking awesome,
so much
man.
Sidewall.
That's sweet. So where's...
He's followed, his luggage valet is driving like a 90s Wrangler that has a double rear axle, like a 6x6.
Really?
Yes, and they follow. It follows. They load up the luggage into it. That's why mentally conflated the two. But yeah, in the film, he's driving like this Jeep that's got an extra axle on it. Pretty fucking rad.
I love the idea that, like, the Jeep needs six wheels to go where it's going, but the Mustang's like, I got it. With two wheel drive and a lift kit.
But it's very, very.
It looks real good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder where who cares? I guess Pierce Brosnan, no one cares about the movie prop car, but I wonder where it ended up.
Well, then here's the Radwood version.
The gambler version. Yeah, the low budget.
Which also looked like a good time.
I mean, it looks good on the Fox body, too.
Yeah. It does. That car, I think, was for sale after one of the events for, I don't know, like $6,000.
Fox body convertible.
Didn't you do a story about it? Somebody did.
Not one of my, not one of mine, but we've sent people to those, I believe.
I got invited to go on one of those, and this kid, I'd never met this dude before, and he was like, hey, man, you want to go? We got a Crown Vic that we lifted, and we got, like, a bunch of beer and guns, and it's me and two friends, and I was like, I'm good.
The
gambler thing, I really respect them, and I think it's cool, but it's not really, it's a little too destructive for me. I don't want to cut up my car.
The number of cars that, that apparently go on this fucking thing, I hear it's like 1,000 cars.
They just tell people to show up, right?
I think some of them get pretty big, probably especially around here where, like,
what
there's a lot of people's cars.
What do you do with 1,000 cars anywhere?
I drive slowly in a line on a trail.
That's got crazy.
To, right? Because if someone gets stuck, everyone else behind him is like, ugh.
Ugh. I like to not be around people.
It's a really cool idea, and I think it's inspired some rowdy cars.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I like that it has turned all, you know, now. It's like the thing where, you know, for when we started racing lemons, you on the drive home from a lemons race on the highway, it's just like you're scanning. It's
yes.
Like, that's a lemons car. That's a lemons car. You know, now it's like, lift it, balloon right. tires. Yeah. Lift it, balloon tires.
I went to the Hollywood sign once, and there was a black Charger with an external cage and like a lift and you know BFGs on, like, clearly built.
That's
with
like
a
Hollywood
bit of money.
Stunt car or something, right?
It was Hollywood stunt or it was Gambler. Like, it was dirty. I mean,
with an exoskeleton.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Like bash bars,
just in case.
Not that you know who kind of not an exoskeleton. I mean, a real exoskeleton is crazy. Mm-hmm. We don't need to discuss that. Anyway, what else is going on, man? How you been? Other than, you know, do you have a functional hand?
Yeah, no. I have a hand. It's a lot
80%
a lot further along than the last time I was in here. I think I was still in pins and
you
a
were.
Cast. Yeah. Now we're, I can like, I have like a dead claw, basically. I can sort of squeeze.
Can you feel?
Yeah, kind of. So it's really like, it's very difficult to like manipulate something small or like tools because I can't really...
How about steering wheels?
Steering wheel I can grab,
steering
yeah. So I'm driving stick again, which is cool.
Oh, are you?
Hey,
yeah.
Cool.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, thank
That's
you.
Good.
But I can't pull
that
a clutch
on
a motorbike.
That was like a maybe for a while,
yeah,
right?
It was, yeah. So we got that back, which was
have
big.
Have you ridden any motorbikes that do not require a clutch?
No, I haven't. I have not.
I mean, not to be like an enabler, but I have my Yamaha 125 scooter.
Oh, really? I should give it a shot.
Extremely fun. You do need to pull a brake on that
right,
side.
Right.
But,
that's a little important.
But it's less frequent than a clutch, though.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
And it's not being the, it's the, what do you call it? It's the rear brakes.
So oh,
you
yeah,
don't
okay.
use it
so you don't
quite
need
as
it.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been thinking about, and people keep telling me, oh, get a dual clutch, get an electric. I'm like, I don't have like 15 grand to spend on another motorbike.
No, but it's a real good opportunity yeah. for you to ask for a long-termer.
That's true. Could do that. I'm also a little risk-averse these days,
yep,
so I'm
no
like
shit.
Not super into...
Let's count driving stick as a milestone.
It we is, should. For sure, yeah.
We'll count that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't require you to like hold on to something with, you know, strong tensile strength.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, something.
The biggest frustration has been shit like reaching into my pockets, mm-hmm. like because... For one thing, I can't really, like, the fingertips are kind of, like, I can't really tell, like, where the key is and the wallet is. But then also, like, the nub where they cut off the pinky is really sensitive. So if I catch a key, it's like, no!
Oh, God.
Hence the fanny pack.
Oh. Joe Rogan would be very proud of you.
Yeah, I got it at a Halloween store, like, 3 years ago, and I found it in my closet. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going
nice to
use this. Exactly it. Yeah. I think that's why, like, where I got it for.
I like
couple
it.
Years ago. Yeah,
that's a
right.
great, that's innovative solution. And Joe Rogan does rock a fanny
does
pack.
He really?
Yes, everywhere he goes.
Yeah, it's at this point, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do whatever works.
Rad is in, yeah. But,
small been driving price
again.
To pay.
Yeah, been traveling again, which is cool, too.
Where to?
Recently, actually, GT3 RS, recently was in Germany doing some high-end Porsche stuff on, like, the most absurd press trip
Wait.
I've been on.
Did you do? I'm going to do an absurd press trip
oh, really?
Next week. Is it? Did you already do the thing that I'm about to do?
I doubt it. We.
What did you? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, yeah.
What'd you do?
I don't want to scoop myself too much because I haven't written about it yet. But
no,
it's been on social and everything.
Give
already.
Us the ones and twos.
So we flew to Stuttgart to see the Porsche Museum, which was very cool. I'm sure you've been there. Guessing you've been there before.
I have once. Yeah,
it's very cool.
It's lovely.
And we took 911 Speedster, GT2 RS, and two GT3s from there to Spa, Belgium, to watch the 24-hour race. And, you know, obviously between there and there is unrestricted,
yes.
just like wide open,
Jeez.
Wild times.
Sounds great.
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Speedster, 2 RS, and 3 RS?
And 3 RS, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a win.
Yeah. It was
that's
unreal.
A strong,
the,
yeah, it was
the difference
game.
In speed of each of those is like, it's like a 50% to 50%, right?
Well, it's funny because I wasn't really thinking about that, but yes, so the GT2 is like in another
the
stratosphere.
The 3 RS
basically.
To 2 RS is fucking crazy.
Oh yeah,
town.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's like 400 and change, like 700 HP,
it's
right?
520.
520
is
okay,
the
yeah.
is the 3 RS, and then 7.
Yeah.
Something. 720.
The GT2 RS is so just it's a preposterous car. It's like. It's so ridiculous. I was actually riding with Kevin McCauley. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I know Kevin.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah.
He's going to be on the Porsche crazy thing I'm doing next week, which is not the thing that you did.
That's really funny.
It's a different crazy thing.
He's just Porsche-ing it up all over the place.
He's making money.
That's good.
He's on their payroll.
Oh, really?
He's
driving
instructor? He's staff, right? Isn't he? Was he their staff?
No, he was shooting for Auto Week, I think, when I went with
him. Oh, in that case, he might be doing editorial. I'm sorry.
No, he mixes it up. Yeah, he does a little bit of both.
He does do some OEM work, right?
He does, I think so.
Yeah.
But we did, so the Speedster manual, obviously.
It's
just like,
wait,
so good.
Where did the windshield come on your face? Did you have to duck a little bit? Or you
no,
good?
Okay. It was, the seat is really low, which is, I think, how they partially get around that. The seat is like, you open the door and like you fall in twice as far as you think it's supposed to be to get into the seat.
Further than the 3RS and 2RS?
I felt like it was.
Because the 3RS has like literally low seats, like really low carbon buckets in it.
Right.
And my wife... Hannah took the car to the mall the other day. I was like, literally,
why not?
I gave her the keys and no instruction at all, just to see what would happen, other than the location of the nose lift button, because I didn't want her to break anything.
Right.
And she was like, do I need to know anything? I was like, nope, here's the nose lift, just turn the key and drive it. And she came back, she's like, this thing is great. And I was like, she really liked it.
Wow.
But she had to sit on a towel so she couldn't see over the dash.
Low seats, yeah, with those high sills or like high buckets, high bolsters.
Yeah.
No, she was like, I don't know if we could get one of these. I was like, if we did, we'd get normal seats, don't worry. Getting in and out of those is brutal.
Yeah,
that hard sill, climbing over that, like, because I'm dailying this thing like everywhere. So climbing in and out of that a bunch of times a day actually gives you kind of like bruises.
It's very inconvenient to get in and out of, but otherwise.
I recommend the normal seats, because the normal seats on 911 still have like great bolstering, like unless you care about the 60 pounds or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, at that level, you kind of do though, don't you? Like once you're going GT3,
it also depends on how often you're driving on the street. Like what are you really using it for and what condition, like... If your street driving is you're in and out of the car a lot, you know, versus if you're in the
car, then maybe get a regular 911
car.
Touring. Spike dailies his GT2 RS.
Really?
Yep.
Two?
Jesus. Yeah, 2 RS.
Why?
He likes it. The stiffness doesn't bother him. He's just into it. He thinks it's fun.
Man, God, not to change too wildly, but I was just in a BMW X4 M comp. Have you driven that car?
No, I tried. There aren't actually any X4. I wanted the X3 M, and there aren't any left in the LA fleet. I have to wait for the next round. Did you like it?
I mean...
Forget the rear roof. Driver's seat forward?
I actually like the way it looks. I know I'm in a minority, but in interior exterior, I think it's like a cool looking, weird looking car.
Give us that photo, Zach. The side profile.
Yeah, I kind of dig it. I know it's sacrilegious.
You're allowed to like what you like. I don't like it. I think it's weird looking.
It's weird. It's definitely weird looking, but it kind of works for me. It's like the inside is very spaceshipy and like, but that car is so fucking stiff, man. I picked it up at JFK and driving over to Brooklyn to stay with Raphael was like.
Well, you gave it a worst case scenario, though, didn't you?
But
JFK to Brooklyn's really—that's a really rough trip.
Oh, it's terrible. But it really didn't get much better between. Yeah. We put almost 1,300 miles on the thing.
Where'd you go?
All over New England. I went to New Hampshire, Maine, like seeing people, and it was cool. It just doesn't. It's super fast, of course. It's stiff, so despite what a lot of people will say is number steering, not ideal steering, it's like it handles well. It's just like brutal.
Yeah. Well, it's big rims, right? Big rims are the problem.
Yeah.
And in New England, what you've got are potholes and hard edges. And even if you get travel to soak up, you know, the undulation,
hard
edges on big rims, there's no travel.
There's no.
Yeah, because it's an M car,
Well, it's so tall and heavy that in order to get it to, like, go be okay on the track, they need it to, like, stretch it out.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting to drive one of these back-to-back with something like the 812 or any sports car that has mag ride and see what the difference is
that would be
in that compliance, because there are cars out there that can be like stiff for performance reasons but are still compliant enough and feel comfortable, but I wonder,
most of them have the engine not in front because the geometries are really better on the front suspensions.
What about like Camaros 812? Like, I mean, they have mag ride or the Mustangs. Like, I'm wondering if it may be a perception thing where our brain goes sports car, pretty soft for a sports car. Mag ride's great. And then we get in one of these and we go, it's too stiff because our brain thinks it should be calibrated differently. I'm just curious. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't. Lately, I've been thinking I kind of like stupid fast SUVs, but not so much stupid fast crossovers.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective.
Like, I'm into,
you're into
what?
A G63, but not this?
Or not so much G63, but like GLS63 or...
just something more squared off and big.
Yeah, ones that... Because vehicles like that are like straight line speed, and that's it, pretty much. And like, they know what they're about. Versus this tries to be like...
Everything,
and it's kind of... I don't know.
I don't want my SUV to be trackable. Like, I just don't give a shit. My dad has a Cayenne Turbo. I fucking hate it. I seriously do. I don't like it. I think it's dumb. It doesn't need to be that stiff.
Right.
And also have the slush box for towing. Like, you want stiff? Yeah. Give me the PDK.
Right.
And we'll pretend like we're a race car. Or you want to give me the slush box for towing? Give me some travel because I'm towing.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just regular SUVs, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll pass on the X3M. But I get the M5 next week. And I-8.
Oh, nice.
I've never driven an I-8.
It's been a long time.
You want to try mine? Sure. Well, I've never driven an I-8 before.
Really?
I'm kind of excited. Never got around
That's
to
an
it.
Oldie.
I know.
I rode one once, and it was like, this is pretty cool. Like, Chris is driving, so this is quick and nimble and feels light and sounds kind of cool and weird.
Well, we can all drive it, but like, it's the Roadster, nice. So cool. But I'm pretty excited about it, actually.
My colleague Christian Lee really liked it. I've heard from others that it's like looks faster than it is, but...
Yes, true.
Yeah, I hear it's not that fast, but I hear it's a good, like, city sports car.
Yeah, which is cool.
All right.
I mean, I think it's almost like a momentum car. Like, if you're in the canyons, like, it feels nimble.
You ever drive an i3?
Yeah, yeah.
So, on them little bike tires?
Yep.
Then they handle like way better than you think they're going to. Like, why am I not like pushing on this little bike tire? Like, I don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
Dude, speaking of not pushing, I took the GT3 RS down Latigo. I met a dude at Malibu Cars and Coffee on Sunday who just moved to LA. And he's like, I'm a fan. I just moved here. I'm not weird, but like, I don't know anybody. Can you point me in the right direction of some people? And I was like, come with me. And I took him in the, his name was Steve. He gave me a not weird vibe. So I took him out in the GT3 RS. There is almost no way to get that car to understeer on a public road. I mean, you just keep turning the wheel harder and harder and harder. You cannot unsettle it. It is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah. That makes sense.
The pace of that car, there's no difference between it and the 812 on the street, and the 812 has 300 more horsepower. There's no difference in speed on the street.
Believe that, yeah.
It's absolutely bananas. I did one of my little Just Noise videos of this car, and I spent 6.5 minutes between 7,000 and 9,000 RPM. At one point, I slowed down to what felt like a hairpin, but it was really about an 80-mile-an-hour corner, and... The RPMs dipped down to 6, and so I went down a gear and brought them back to 7. Like, there's all the revs. You can treat it like absolute garbage.
Well, even, you know, Lee Keen, who is a huge fan of all things 911 and race, has driven like every generation of race car and track cars. He's like, we always ask him when the new ones come out, like, is this really that much better than the last thing? And one of his comments with this one was like, the front end just has way more grip than the last one did. I mean, the last one was amazing in its way, but like you said, you can't get it to understeer. It doesn't feel like a rear engine car anymore.
With four wheel steer and a 265 tire in the front, it's like, you can't unsettle it, and you can clutch kick it. Like,
I saw you posting about that. I was looking forward to watching your little clip.
There was a lot of confusion. I made a separate video about it with three angles, but there's a little Instagram. This I came up on the little skid pad here to do this.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, listen, ready. There's the clutch kick, and now you're drifting.
Wow.
And by the way, this car's really good at drifting.
Jeez, look at that.
Yeah, you can.
Nice donut. Nicely done.
Yeah, look, and into a transition and a hard park. So what you can do, and there was a lot of confusion about this in the comments, and I'll tell you why, because people who weren't around for single clutch automated manuals like in the early 2000s, like back those, like the 355, the 360 Ferrari, the Vanquish, the Gallardos, those you'd have to pull both paddles to put it in neutral, right? Now those gear, the PDK and the modern dual clutches typically like have a lever or buttons with an N. And if you pull both paddles, that doesn't usually put that in neutral. Only the Aventador still does that.
Huh.
So with PDK and the GT cars, if you are in first or second gear and you tug both paddles, it doesn't put it in neutral, but it holds the clutches open.
Wow.
And when it does, you have to have traction control fully disabled and stability control. And in my case here in this video, I go do basically like a 200-foot circle, like a, you know, a skid pad style circle.
Yeah.
First gear with the wheel 180 degrees turned over. So the paddles were actually, quote, upside down for me.
Right.
So I was just holding them like that. And you just squeeze them. Opens the clutches, and it's open throttle too. So you have the throttle. It doesn't auto. So you just mat it and then
let
go, and it dumps the clutches. And now it's full off, and you're drifting.
I love Porsche for putting that in there. Like, I really,
that's
really
so
do.
Did you ask
better
about
than
that?
Drift mode.
Is that like intentional? That's,
oh yeah, it's
that's not like
no, it's for drifting.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
And it's like it's like, all right, I don't have any excuses anymore.
I'm always like, that rear engine car, I don't know.
And you can it while drifting again. Like you can be in a slide and then do it again to continue. Like you can do it multiple times.
It's a straight up clutch kick just with your hands.
Proper clutch kick.
Wow.
So the difference is with the old systems, if you were to do that, pull both paddles to put it in neutral, if you're moving, you can't then rev it up and then, quote, pop it back into gear.
Right.
It won't let you go back into gear until you drop the revs down to idle, and then it would like drag it back.
Right.
Like, you can't use it like this. This is like, if you pull both paddles in the Porsche, like, it won't go into neutral. It's holding them things open. And so, like, it'll do some wonky shit if you hold them open and, like, don't rev it up. Like, it'll do, like, a weird little thing. Like, it's fucking open.
Huh.
So it's pretty awesome.
Really
is,
cool.
Is that just a GT3 RS thing, or is that a 911 thing?
GT cars,
okay.
Although I'm waiting, like, I'm kind of hoping they put it in the 992s.
Huh.
Like, I don't know if it's going to stage you, but that's my cool trip.
Trip is a 992.
I'm going to Stuttgart.
Nice.
Going to the museum, taking delivery of a 992.
Sweet.
Driving it to Leipzig, where we get on a DHL cargo jet with the car.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
fly
that.
Fly to Ohio and then drive our German press cars on Tail of the Dragon to Atlanta.
Ohio to Tail of the Dragon?
That's a long ride. It's a lot of driving. But it's 992. Like, I need the seat time. It's important.
Yeah,
and
hell yeah.
You know who's filming it? J5. JF's filming it.
Oh.
Because of course he is.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's like, yo, dude, saw your name on the thing. DHL, what up? I was like, oh, dude, this will be fun.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's going
to
be great.
Yeah, do you know anything to do in Leipzig? I have a half a day.
No, never been there. Is that Austria or Germany?
That's Germany.
I was raised there. I can tell you all kinds of stuff.
If there's any German fans out there, let me know what to do in Leipzig. So that'll be cool. Wait, so of those three, Speedster, RS, 2RS?
I mean, I'd have to go Speedster just because I'm a convertible. I'm not at the RS level, so
it has a soft top, right?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
does.
Okay. Oh yeah, no, it's not like a roof totally roofless. That would be pretty intense. What I liked about the Speedster is it's very distinctive and it stands out without being kind of douchey. You ride around the GT3 and it's like you got the freaking
livery. He just pulled up. He just pulled
what,
up.
What do you
like
got?
The,
oh well, okay.
The fucking psycho. There. Look at that.
That's a bit much. We had a plain red one, which was just a very nice looking
color. Probably matters
car.
A lot.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, the rear cowl has a cool shape to it. You know,
does it look
the
more mid engine?
Yeah, it does.
With the
of course, because the butt is so much more like pronounced.
Yeah,
and it doesn't
have
a
color. It's a great looking car.
Gigantic spoiler.
Oh, there's the nice. Red. Yeah, there's the red. That
yeah.
works.
Oh, it's a very handsome
Zach,
car.
Zach, did you shoot that B-roll?
I did not.
Who's the droney guy?
Whoa.
Here?
This looks like England or Ireland or something.
No, that looks like Chris Harris's road.
Yeah.
In,
it's like his backyard.
Yeah. I don't like the scallop front end, but it is a good looking car in the right color.
Yeah.
And black silver wheels, I bet, is fuego. The red is nice. That's good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's amazing how much color matters no matter what the car is. I've noticed driving around press cars, like the interesting cars that are lame colors nobody gives a shit about, but I was in like a V6 Dodge Challenger that was bright red, and people were like, nice car, man. Yeah. It's like, really?
Because everyone just drives white, like, dark gray. Everyone just has the same colors.
Yeah,
nowadays,
so like orange, red, or yellow, people are like, wow, cool. Even if it's like what, Yaris or something.
The yellow 812 is really...
Oh, yeah.
That's loud. Yeah, that's loud.
Yeah, I was super jealous of that thing, seeing your pics.
That car is real crazy.
I bet.
I mean, I don't, like, I took a little bit of shit after the video. I mean, not real shit, YouTube shit, but, like, you know, it's they're kind of at the end of that front engine rear drive thing. I mean, you just can't make them any more powerful. They're like out of traction. I broke the tires loose in third gear in this thing. Jesus. Like, it's an automatic. Like, come on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how fast do we need to be going?
Except.
This looks amazing. Yeah. You see
the
this
from today? Ferrari.
Who wrote that? Justin?
GTS.
Justin Westbrook.
God, first off, love that they're bringing back GTS. How excited am I for GTS as a fan of all the GTSs from the 80s? God damn, is that hot.
That's so good.
The A12 GTS is a Targa-topped version of the A12 I just drove.
Yeah.
Now I know why they were retiring my press car, and therefore why I got it.
Well, I think the hardtop technology just seems like it's evolved a lot in the last 5 years, and so it's opening up doors like this, and it's so cool. It's so cool.
Why would you not do something like this?
Yeah.
You extend the life of a model... And you can show off that you've got like a 1 kilogram carbon top or whatever. The roof on the 720 Spider is crazy. 11 seconds it goes up and down. How fast does it say? Does Ferrari brag about their roof mechanism speed on this particular article?
No.
What you got? No.
It's not up there yet.
No. Well, then it's probably slower. I don't know. But I will say that color is absolutely incredible.
I think this is a rendering, or at least there's a lot of post on it, so they probably wouldn't have like the specs yet for
it's almost like the evolved 575 Maranello.
Well, it is. It's exactly a super America. It's a new Super America. But but bringing back GTS rules. I hope they keep that. But the whole time I had the yellow one, I just went like, not the whole time, but I wished it was that exact color. That gray with a red interior is the fucking jam for a front-engine Ferrari.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, yeah. And that engine is absolute lunacy. I mean, you can't believe that they are allowed to sell something like that. You know, not only is it completely inappropriate for most drivers to have anything like that, but also I drove it. I had it for like 5 days. The first 3 days, I didn't leave LA. I just like drove around the city, whatever, like on the 90. I don't even know if I got on the highway at all. I got 7 miles per gallon in town in a two seat car that's built now. Like, what?
That has lightweight materials.
Yeah. That's like worse than my Countach. That's like 30 years old.
Did you notice that the passenger seat, I don't know, maybe the driver's seat did too. When I drove it, we're hearing this squeak. Vinny and I are driving the car. And we're just hearing this all the time. And he's like looking around and we're touching the center console and stuff. He's like, what the hell? And he looks down and he goes, oh, it's a seat. And he slides his seat forward one notch and then it's gone.
Huh.
So it's if the passenger seat was all the way back, you get the carbon creak.
Oh, the carbon was rubbing on the leather?
Yeah.
I mean, the car is
it's beautiful and fast. And the interior, I think, is really nice looking. And it just has these little things that are like, still Italian.
Yeah,
just a millimeter away from greatness.
Huracans, they did this. In Huracans, I can't believe after the Gallardo, they never figured this out. But in a Huracan or Aventador even, if you have your seat all the way back, the leather back of the seat rubs on the leather and it's fucking squeaky. But because the test driver is probably like 5'8 over there.
Well, they probably tested by themselves.
Yeah.
So they never hear it, right?
They never hear it. Yeah. They never know.
I mean, I think the front engine V12 Ferraris are just almost without fault for me. Yeah. Like all of them.
Pull
are
that
just
picture back up. Don't
gorgeous.
Make, don't make them look at me. Let them look at the front engine V12 Ferrari.
I mean, you look at the F12, you look at the 550, 575. Any of those I would give organs for.
Dude, when I started this thing every morning in my garage, that echo, I mean, it really, and I would back it into the garage, so it would like bounce off the garage walls. Oh my God, it had some carry. It had some carry.
Made your Countach pee a little bit.
Countach isn't that loud.
No, it's, not compared to that.
It's not a loud car, and it's. I think it's supposed to be. I don't know.
Maybe it was for the time. But,
maybe someone's got to make an exhaust. We make it louder.
Well, now we have like cutouts and electronic activated this and that. So
put dumps on it, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe I can call. Do you think I can call Nick at VF and request a burble tune or a fire tune
on the Countach? He's like, "How do you tune this with like a telephone?
Yeah,
like a rotary dial that you plug in."
There's some kind of fuel something module that's been updated to a very old school USB cord. I don't know what it is though.
What, like a V? Is there a version one USB that I'm forgetting?
No, it's not. It's not original. At one, it's there's this there's some very old Magneti Marelli computer that controls the fuel pumps, right? And it controls like how much the like very old school injectors, you know, do,
like
right?
One of those old serial ports from like a
basically. and then at one point, I don't know when, sometime before the previous owner had it,
right.
It was converted to a different computer that is everyone universally agrees is better, especially for 91 octane in California.
Okay.
It allows you to run, like, I guess if you run 91 octane on the stock Magneti Marelli computer, you get like a what do you call it, like detonation or whatever,
right.
Like
knock.
a few hundred RPM shy of redline. With this computer, you can run it to 8. And so it has an old shitty USB plug. That was the entire point of that whole thing. Was this whatever this still shitty upgrade was? It has a USB.
Does your
plug.
Countach with like 10% ethanol gas? Does that fuck it up, or is it okay?
Like
gas regular
from
gas?
The,
yeah,
no,
from
it's fine.
Yeah,
no regular gas from the pump.
Whatever
this computer is, it manages California gas.
Okay,
that's what it does.
Got it.
And it works.
Nice.
No, it works. Yeah, it works fine. More I drive that car, the better it gets. I'm telling you. I drove it last weekend.
Cars like that.
And it couldn't have been happier.
That's great.
It was just a car. It's lovely. It's totally just a car.
It was a fun drive. Fun drive.
Great.
I was behind him in the A12, and we're just driving down, you know, whatever, past towards Manhattan Beach along the ocean. I was like, this is pretty interesting day.
It's fun to watch on the highway.
Yeah.
And then you left. You had to go do some shit. But on the way home, Spike had the Aventador SVJ.
Jesus.
And so I was rolling up Vista Del Mar, and he was following me in the SVJ, which is quite interesting. The SVJ is a very aggressive car.
That would have looked, I'm sure you're in a lot of people's Instagram
There's
stories
a picture.
That day.
No, I'll go to my Instagram. There's a picture. Tim Pappas was behind us in his 911R because he's got to fucking upstage everybody.
Of course.
And he got the shot. What? There it is. There's the shot.
That's red too.
Yeah,
perfect.
Matching colors. And he had the matte red to really enforce that.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw
that.
Yeah,
a lot
actually.
Happening.
It's my like, red, geez. Next to his red, my red is such an 80s red.
Yeah. Man, I almost wish you had gotten like rollers, like really good photos of those two together. It would have looked really cool.
I mean,
cool.
He was driving. In
yeah,
fairness.
No,
shout out,
no,
to,
no,
shout
yeah.
out to Tim Pappas. He rules. He's
have
got
you,
it.
Have you gone off roading lately? Have you gone on any trips? How's your Montero?
Yeah, dude, the Montero is solid. Oh my God, I'm obsessed
Mitsubishi
with my Montero,
life.
Dude. Yeah,
I'm in the family now.
What did you get?
I have a Delica.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Is that yours? Oh,
yeah.
That looks fantastic.
Dude, I just got these wheels.
These wheels are sweet.
What wheels are those? Those are great.
They're Koenig Countersteer Type X in a 16-inch. So wheels for this car are super hard to find because it's got a gigantic center bore. Toyotas are all 106. You can find that all day. This is 108, of course, 2 millimeters. And a lot of wheel shops will be like, yeah, we'll cut it for you. But I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to deal
cut,
with that.
No,
yeah.
Cut and wheels don't
yeah,
go together.
Just like, eh.
No.
And then aftermarket off-road wheels that are well-made and lightweight, extremely hard to find in this weird size. So I looked
for
15s?
16s.
So that's the stock wheel, which is not bad looking.
That is the Montero of my youth.
Yeah,
dude.
Man.
Those were real popular when I was like in middle school. Is that like a
98. So that body style is basically 92 to 2000, but those fender flares was 98 to 2000 only.
Does it have the awesome gauge pod in the center with the three gauges?
So it has the three, and it has like oil pressure, a compass that doesn't work, and
yeah,
and,
like,
no, and... And volts. But the older one had the tilt, so I went to a junkyard and found that. But I was going to put it in my truck, but I have it on my desk, and I'm like, I like looking at it here. So I might just leave it.
And if, you're, if it ever tilts, you go, oh.
Exactly. Honey, get under the table.
There's something about this car where like the front overhang looks like nothing, like 3 inches, and then the back looks almost like they added
really
it
on. Like the whole wheelbase is shifted forward like 6 inches.
The stock approach angle is, according to the brochure, is 45 degrees. That's what they say.
I believe it. Look at that image.
But the rear departure looks like, you know, 38 or I don't
it's
know.
Pretty,
it's just a
pretty
lot
freaking shower. Serious. Yeah. It's an extremely capable vehicle. It's got a rear air locker stock.
Whoa.
It's got a center
fuck out of here,
and
really?
A center locking diff. So it's got two fucking
the pod.
Lockers.
Look, go up. There's the
yeah,
pod.
Yeah, yeah. There's the
junkyard,
one I found.
The
yeah.
Junkyard pod.
That's the junk. So it's much cleaner and beautiful now in my desk.
So that gauge pod is the one I have in the Delica.
Really?
That has the yaw, the volts, and the something else.
That's probably the most valuable part of your truck.
I hope not.
That's that one, that's like, I wouldn't sell it for less than $300.
Whoa.
Oh, I have more valuable parts on it.
That's
that.
Good. Fine. If so you were good, if you were to order it from Mitsubishi, it'd be like $800.
Well, you cool. bought your Montero.
You
like
were there, my
ago.
Friend.
I drove you
yeah.
down there, right?
That's right.
So it was like,
yeah, but when I, yeah, after I crashed. So you know, the whole reason I bought it, yeah, was to have an automatic.
Right.
So yeah. And I, when I was looking at Land Cruisers, I'd already owned a 4Runner. I was like, already did the Land Rover thing. It's like, what else?
And those are all have gotten more and more expensive. I mean,
yeah.
for good reason, at least like with
yeah,
the 4Runner,
they're
very durable.
Montero
so this
still
was
cheap.
Like the DL. So I wanted
Mitsubishi gets no love.
I know, no love.
How is reliability? But like, what have you had to do to it? And how long have you? How far have you driven it?
I'm probably getting up to the first oil change, so like 3,500 miles. Haven't
right,
driven
so
it
that
much. Haven't driven it that much.
3,500 LA miles though is
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Like if you're in town,
yeah.
average speed 18 miles an hour.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I did brake pads. That's it, pretty much.
Does it work?
Fluids. What do you mean? Does it work? Does the truck work?
Yeah. Does it work properly?
The only thing that doesn't work is a driver heated seat. Which,
oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
We live here.
Yeah. I like it in the morning.
It's
but
what?
Well, it's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, yeah.
72 degrees in the morning.
So the kind of the most fun about owning this thing is the SoCal Montero community is super stoked. And they like, oh, they all
because
know
you're
they all
you?
Know each other. No, no. Just
not because you're Jalopnik?
No, no,
well,
not at all.
Well,
I'm
great.
Like,
I know this organization. They're really good because they can all fit in one Montero.
No, no. They're like...
At the meetings, they only have to take one car.
Yeah. It's actually 7-passenger, believe it or not. Mine's converted to 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours have like a flip-down
Mine has a
flip-down
bed. But stock, the rear
Wait,
seat
bed like sleeping?
Sleeping bed, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Pretty cool.
I'll show you later, yeah.
It's real cool.
And,
will you?
Yeah. You can snuggle. The stock, the way back seats and the second row like folded flat. So that was actually a bed, like a sleeping bed.
Pretty cool.
Dude, it's a rad truck.
It's got this giant sunroof. It's got Bilstein 5100 shocks, which I love. OME rear springs.
Have you gone off-road in it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it good?
It's fine. Yeah, I went by myself, so I was like super low-key.
Yeah, let's not have these kinds of problems.
I think I told you, I was like, I'll go with you with a car. And
yeah, yeah.
And we'll, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, though. So
no, we'll be fine.
I might
we'll
be
go,
less.
We'll be all right. No, no, it's fine.
By yourself.
But so it had these... Yeah, I wanted to switch the tires, all the wheels, because you can fit like a big brake if you have a 16-inch wheel. So I got on this whole thing. Yeah, searched for 3 months. Finally found this guy in orange, FN Wheels. You ever work with them? You ever
no.
do anything with them? They this guy, Dustin, down there, he was like really into it.
I like the name.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a F and wheels.
F and
great.
Wheels.
It is.
Hey, what do you guys do here?
Fucking wheels. Yeah. So it's actually, everyone keeps telling me it's a six shooter, but it's not. It's the counter steer type X.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked that one because it actually looks like a,
Pajero
Evo. Yeah. A T-37.
Yeah.
That's what I originally wanted, but they're really expensive.
Those are very expensive.
And the Koenigs are actually lighter than the stock wheels. So the stock wheel's about 23 pounds. The Koenigs I got are bigger and they're about 18 and a half.
They look great.
And I went from a BFG KO2 to a Cooper Discoverer to save about 7 pounds. So I'm saving like 11 pounds a corner. And from
wait,
the setup,
the tires are 7 pounds lighter too.
Oh, cool. Dude, wow. Nobody talks about tire weights nearly enough.
I think you should write about that. That's a very good
idea. It's in the pipeline
because we love the
have
BFG
you looked
KOs,
up other
but...
weights?
Yes. So
I have KO2s on the Safari.
Yeah, KO2 is an awesome tire and it's very durable. But that durability comes at a cost of weight. They're
very,
very
heavy.
They're extremely heavy. They're pretty much the heaviest all-terrain tire.
Come on.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
That's why they don't pop that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, as you know, rotational mass, it costs you fuel economy, totally. Speed, every costs you everything. So I was like, realistically, I can go
for
a slightly.
Yeah, your truck would be way faster if you drop 7 pounds a corner.
It totally. Is actually. Yeah. I mean, it, like.
Well, I'm thinking about that with the 911. Like, Tire Rack hooked me up with the KO2s, and like, mm-hmm. I know KO2s are like a good.
It's
tire.
It's a good tire, but
and they are. But like,
if you
7 pounds a corner in a 911 with 250 horsepower is a shitload.
That's a shitload. But if I'm off-roading, I'd rather have durability. I think.
Also, I went from a significant size jump. So I went from a 33. To a like a 32 and a little wider, so I did go a little bit smaller to save that kind of weight, but and width also they get heavier more quickly when they get wider versus right. diameter.
Because
the tread is where the meat is, obviously.
Yeah.
But so I did a ton of research on it. Like Tire Rack has a great like chart. So
oh,
like
for fitting stuff.
Yeah, fittings, yeah. And they have like what the tires weigh and where they're made and the tread depth, so you can really compare like. Okay, this tire weighs this much, and you can kind of figure out why.
You really should write a piece on tire weight.
It's,
I think it does make a difference, because especially because now off-road sports cars are like kind
totally.
Of a thing, and that actually would make a difference to some of us.
And it's not just power. It's also
consumer advice, bro.
Yeah, it's also wear and tear on your ball joints and all that shit. Like, you know, I know your 911 Safari is like dialed, but like a sports car with off-road tires, they're like the running gear is not made for that. It really kills it quickly.
How has the what's like the on-road handling and noise like? Because the KO, that's kind of like set the bar for me as far as like quiet riding on highways and stuff.
I mean, the noise, I haven't really noticed a significant difference. It's so much more fucking nimble just because of the weight.
Oh wow!
It's like it's worlds apart.
And sometimes it's an okay trade off. But I've driven. I can't remember what I was driving, but it had like an aftermarket off road tire, and it was just like, you know, it was moaning.
Well, cheap ones are very loud.
Hennessy Velociraptor, was that it?
That was kind of noisy.
That had mud terrains on it.
Oh, mud terrains extremely loud because they're meaty.
I told John, I was like John Hennessy. Yeah, because Vinny is the West Coast PR guy for Hennessy. He lives in my house. He's on the show a lot.
Okay.
And so we have this truck. It's his demo, but he lives in my house.
The six wheel?
No. Well, we can't fit a six by anyway. We have the Hennessy Ranger Velociraptor.
Oh, interesting.
Which is an interesting truck. You want to drive it?
Kind of, yeah.
You should, yeah. We'll get you in it.
Yeah,
not curious. Not Vinny. Sorry. I don't know why I said we, but I'm not fucking the PR guy
for
it. I reviewed it. It's fun, but it's a little strange because it's a peaky four-cylinder with a 10-speed automatic, you know, and there it is. It's kind of cool, but it's got mud terrains on it. And I told John
they're big
they're so fucking loud.
Well, he's probably, if you have a shitload of horsepower, like, yeah, you can put big tires on it. It's not that big a deal. But for my fucking Montero, which was making 200 in 1998, like,
wow.
I need all the juice I can get.
Do you have other plans with it?
Yeah, I want to get it repainted. I want to take the roof rack off and do like a light bar, like a couple roundies. I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to go with.
For people listening, Andrew's truck currently has a roof rack with round lights on it,
like a basket.
Why
rack
do you
want to
change
thing?
It?
Well, the
I mean, I'm being a dick, but like,
no, I'll
I was
tell you exactly
you
why.
To say something totally different. You're like, I want to put some round lights on top.
I want to move the lights forward about a foot. No, well,
that,
I want
that makes sense.
So I want to be able to climb out of my sunroof like a photography turret. And you can't right now because the sunroof's actually over the rear seats, weirdly. Because that's what they thought was a good idea. I don't know. And
I wonder if that has to do with like the airflow over
maybe.
It. If it would buff it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe. And with the roof rack, obviously you can't do that. And I know another weight thing. I'm not into roof racks. I don't like putting weight up top.
And they're loud.
It's very loud, yeah.
People
avoid
forget when
can.
They start like strapping stuff to the roof of a Jeep or a truck, and it's like, I got a gas can and a tire and another thing. Like, that's just raising your center
of
gravity
a lot.
That
shit is so heavy, yeah.
Vinny's
yeah.
driving around with a Thule cargo box on the roof of his BMW.
I don't know.
I think it's a look thing.
That makes sense.
It is. And those are light. But, I mean, I've seen, what were we doing before? And we're just strapping more and more shit on the roof. It's like, we should probably think about moving some of this inside if we can.
I really want to do some like Evo style like graphics, like nothing too crazy, but something that kind of works with those bulges and like looks sort of
the fenders are nice,
tuner car-y.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I ended up falling in love with this truck so much, is because it's an opportunity to merge my two favorite genres, which is like overlandy and like Japanese tuner. So I'm kind of trying to blend those Yeah.
All right. Gotta get the gladiator on there.
Gladiator
go,
with arm.
Go like Tommy Mac Evo and see what comes up.
Oh yeah, that's what you. I know exactly what you're talking about here.
Exactly.
We need some hash marks on this thing.
Yeah, the strobe, like those those little like black and yeah. I think that would be sweet. I'd love to paint the car red, but I don't think that'll be too expensive. I'm just gonna get some cheap single stage, whatever.
Painting yourself?
No, no. It's just just get one of the whatever, one of the
rapid brat.
That's cool.
But yeah, the really Montero cool. is where it's at.
It's like the cheap forerunner that no one knows about, right?
Yeah.
And Glucker, more like a Land Cruiser, really. One, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Glucker's got a first gen. Lynn Woodward has a first gen. A lot of
Dude,
people are
we
getting.
We need a fucking Delica it up. Or
Mitsubishi
it up.
Crew it up. That'd be great.
Did you see the wheels on mine?
Did I?
I've
seen some
pics on Friday. Go up pretty far. It's that's stock. If those wheels fit your thing, you can have them. I got some 1552s.
Oh, nice.
Turbo Mac HDs. They're not in there.
Yeah, that's a sexy wheel.
And,
I think Glucker's got those too.
In gray with, and there they are. And we just got the
it looks
brush
awesome.
Guards back, and they're powder coated to match that lower silver trim.
Very piece. Cool.
Which I'm very excited.
What year is that?
91.
91, okay. Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Turbo diesel.
Hell yeah.
Low range, 4x4. It's an Exceed, but it's the low roof Exceed. So the crystal light roof, the glass roof, is 400 extra pounds up top. So the Exceed the Exceed trim is the swiveling captain's chairs like I've got and the dual air conditioners. And then the it doesn't have the high roof.
It has two funny. Air conditioners?
Front and rear.
Whoa,
nice!
You can really glass, so it keeps it cool. Mm. Nice.
You can really see the family resemblance between this, my car, and that. Like, I think
there's a Montero underneath
totally.
That.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, it they look really similar.
I don't know if it's a Montero or a Pajero underneath it.
They definitely look related. That's for sure.
Yeah, they are same era. But yeah. We should definitely have a Mitsubishi crew meetup.
Hell yeah. That'd be great.
Meet at the top of like Rower Flats.
Yeah.
Yeah. For real. Off-road it.
That'd be really fun.
I'll take that off-roading. Everyone has there's mad pictures of Delicas. Like,
oh, they're tough.
I saw two in Banff looking seasoned.
Nice.
Yeah.
Seasoned. I like it.
There's a guy who parks on the beach lot by my house like a lot, and he camps out of his, and I talk to him, and it's got 350,000 kilometers on
Jeez.
It. So he's about that.
You talk to one of the Venice van guys, huh?
I did talk to a Venice van guy. yo, get in the super chat if you want to fucking fuck with us today, because there's a light. Oh, it's light. It's light in the super chat.
Yeah, it's chilling.
It's, I guess, you know.
It's been a low-key evening.
That's, you know, sometimes that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that means, like, we're talking about interesting shit.
Oh,
they don't.
Okay.
It's 11 p.m. Eastern also.
That's true.
Oh, yeah,
that's
late
true.
Night. Late I night. Forgot. Yeah. East Coast. You
going
suck.
Going to
Stay
sleep.
Up later, bitches. What's up next?
I'm going to Mexico, actually. More off-road and shit. We
really?
this company called Dometic. I don't know if I'm like supposed to put them on blast or anything, but they make like fridges and batteries for off-road stuff. And they're like, yeah, we want to have a bunch of people down to like, you know, test some of the stuff. And I was like, all right,
test
cool.
Test fridges and batteries?
Yeah.
Awesome.
in an off-road context. And I was kind of like, oh, this is a good opportunity for me to kind of get back on the horse, so to speak, with
yes.
the Baja stuff. And my boss felt the same way. He's like, yeah, go for it. It's cool because I've been wanting to take my truck down there, but I don't really want to go solo because for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
And
because you're smart.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're going to convoy. I was like, all right, cool.
All right.
And,
so where do you start? Ensenada?
Yeah, we're going to meet up. I'm not sure if we're going to meet up in San Diego or Ensenada, but we're going to actually, we're going to do like a loop basically of the northern, Baja's two states, Baja North and Baja Sur. And so we're basically going to do a lap of the northern state. And then it gets back to Ensenada the same day the Nora 500 begins, which is
cool.
The vintage like Baja race.
So
we're going to hang out and watch the start.
Spectate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a freaking awesome event. So yeah, I was just like, oh, hang out in Ensenada for a couple days and truck it on back.
I mean, camping in Mexico, sponsored by a company that makes off-road survival shit,
cool.
Sounds like a pretty good time to me.
Yeah. So we'll get some hashtag content out of that. No problem.
I'm pretty sure I've used one of their coolers before
really?
With Tim off-roading. Like one of his 4Runner crew buddies had one of those. That one looks familiar.
Nice.
Are they battery powered? Do they have like solar?
I don't know. Yeah. I
guess you'll find out.
I didn't really ask enough questions as usual. I was like, all right, well, I got my passport, so I'll see you guys down there.
That sounds good, dude.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Actually, Wes Seiler turned me on to these guys. I don't know if you guys know him. You know him, of course. He's always trying to like one up everybody with his adventuriness. So
yeah, he's basically Mark Wahlberg in Shooter, but without the military background.
He's a good dude, yeah. So I haven't hung out with him in a long time. So he's going down. And he's like, oh, come to Baja. I'm like, all right.
He's
looking
fun.
Forward to hanging with him again.
Baja's nuts,
man. Is he bringing his dogs?
Unknown. Maybe. Hope so. I don't know if they can cross country lines. I don't know what the rules are. Maybe
good
not.
Question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of free dogs in Mexico.
Back, no.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. You might... Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to try out my global entry pass to come back.
Have you never used it?
I have coming in from an airplane, but I've never used it crossing the driving border. So I'm looking.
Does it help?
Oh yeah, you get the sentry lane.
There's a lane.
Oh, wow. Dude.
Oh, dude.
That
this
helps.
Is.
When you start driving to Mexico, I can use take advantage of my global entry.
You got
to
make sure your car is clear too. It's easy. You just send them your license plate, and then 10 days later, they're like, okay, as long as you know they run your plate, and they're okay, he hasn't been doing anything sketch.
Excellent.
We drove down there because we filmed a bit about Baja this year for Drive season six.
Cool.
That airs in November.
Nice.
So Spinelli and Alex drove a wide open Baja buggy on like a stretch. And Baja, like, I love the Baja 1000, all of it. It seems like the best driving thing ever. But I really was faced with how dangerous that really is.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's all exposure.
Yeah.
It's middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's concrete. They make telephone poles out of concrete there, which some of which are out in the middle of nowhere where you're doing like a really fast rope full of jumps. So it's really gnarly.
It's a wild
very
time.
Very hot. And that was pretty nuts. And then the border crossing back, they have these special garage where people get to have their car taken apart for free.
Yeah.
And
not reassembled.
Inspected for durability. Yeah. Like there's like a table full of tools looking like Saw 6 and then like someone's door panel just on the table. People are getting in trouble.
Yeah.
I drove one of those wide open. When it hurt my back in the day, was doing the 7-day Baja experience thing with wide open, and it was amazing. It was fun.
They're fun cars.
Yeah.
So fun.
They're super forgiving, too. It's
forgiving.
What are they on, like 38s or just gargantuan?
Yeah,
monster
now they have like
travel.
Huge
travel
tires.
Tires. Yeah.
Subaru engine.
Yep. And still my spine exploded.
Yeah, I drove one for 20 minutes, and on dirt, it was like, this is really fun, the steering's a little loose, etc. And then when we got
so
on the road
sketchy
to transit back.
Oh, mega sketchy. Yeah.
I remember doing that. Yeah, nobody told me of anything about the suspension on the street. And this was like one of my first times off-roading, I think, like years and years and years ago. And it was just like, okay, this is interesting.
Well, so for a full day, I'm behind Spinelli and Alex like filming, and like, why can't these guys stay in the fucking lane? Like, why? They're weaving and moving, and this is dangerous. Your car's crossing, you're about to cross yellow. And then I drove it and went, no one could stay.
They're so sloppy. Yeah.
But on dirt,
it makes sense.
It kind of makes sense. You have a little compliance.
It's kind of why cars like the Ford Raptor are so impressive, and also why they can really only go like 30 in like the actual Baja terrain is just because like it's that you can't have a street car that can do both. It's just not a thing.
Yeah, it's too far of a stretch into extremity.
Yeah.
But it's a really brutal race.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. But.
No, you get refrigerators.
Let's exactly.
Let's see what the audience
has
to say. Let's go to these fools for a little bit.
Go to the phones.
Get the fuck out of here. You know what I spent? I literally got up
Kansas, you're on.
I got up at 5:30 this morning and had to drive to Yorba Linda to take an 8-hour OSHA course. Day 1 of 4. I have to do this again tomorrow.
For your parking shop facility?
Yeah. I was in class all day and had to get back here to do this podcast. It sucks. So I'm practically brain dead right now. And I've had that much.
Did you ever listen to Kevin Pollak's podcast? Probably not.
No, but I love
Kevin
Pollak.
He had a bit where it was like the guest had to pretend to be Larry King. So like you have to say something strange and revealing about yourself and then go to the phones. Like and then go to the super chat. So it would just be, you know, I once ate a wheel of cheese and half of it came out intact. Yorba Linda, California. You're on. So you would always challenge the guest to do that kind of stuff.
Very funny. Vlad says, take care, Andrew.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hand is better, and you have love and support from family.
Much appreciated.
Oh, that was a nice note.
That was very nice.
Yeah, Jonathan says, I have, and then back to the usual.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan says, I have a 99 LX 470. Love those.
Yeah.
And a 2003 S2000.
Solid combo.
Can you zoom in one more level, Zach? I'm
sure
kind of far away. In my opinion, the best SUV sports car combo from Japan. Blah, blah, blah.
He's not far off. Yeah, that's pretty good fucking
20K good. For both. Yeah. For less than 30K, what combo would you do from the US, Germany, or the UK? Oh, boy.
I would skip Germany.
Yeah.
Just because of the amount of money you're spending.
Does he have to tow it? I guess he didn't say that.
I mean, less than 30K?
That's very cheap.
You can get an E36 M3.
Oh, yeah.
And an X5 4.6 IS.
Yeah, that would be solid if you wanted to go all German.
All German. Or a first-gen, second-gen Cayenne Turbo to tow that, right?
Are they that cheap?
First-gen.
Maybe a Beat G-Wagon? Could you do that?
No.
Go
the,
way back?
The Beat G-Wagon is still $30,000 by
money,
itself.
Right?
Even a shitty old G500.
Yeah.
There's so much money.
Yeah, SUVs and for no reason.
Yeah, I know.
actually, that's not true. I know the reason, because it doesn't matter what year you get, they look the same.
Right.
You can get one that's 20 years old.
I think this dude's kind of nailed it. I'm trying to think of a better combo.
It would be hard
to
do better than an LX 470 and an S2000. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good freaking combo, man.
Like America, you could get a $20,000 Jeep and a $10,000 Mustang GT with mods, but that's not necessarily better than what he's got.
In America, I'd go Ford Lightning.
Oh,
and
and
then modded, you know, built Fox body.
That would be cool.
Right.
Yeah, that's built Fox body is about 10.
Or like
that's
a built C4 Corvette. You'd be mobbing in like
I've driven a modded C4. Are they any good?
You know what's crazy about C4s is you look at them and you go, well, that's going to be a hunk of shit. And then you get in and you go, oh my God, this drives good. Why
really?
Did no one, you go, why? Hey, why didn't no one tell me these were good? And because they have really, really sharp steering and like really good brakes and like direct shifter. Like they actually drive like really nice.
If they're in good condition.
Yes.
There can't be many left that are.
Yeah.
That have
the later
been...
ones, the 92 to 95, 92 to 96, like the later ones are actually pretty good. And ZR1s are, especially the 95 ZR1s are insanely fast.
Huh.
But they are made of fucking Legos. And there's no way to look cool in one, no matter. There's not a single modification you can do to one to actually make it look cool.
Yeah, they're still struggling because, a lot of that 80s stuff is like cool now, obviously. But I feel like C4 is still just kind of,
you know why?
I think there's a difference between cool and pretty, too.
I'll tell you why, dude. They made the C4 for the entire time I was alive until I was conscious enough to be, you know what I mean? Like, they made it starting in like 83. Like I was born in 81.
Kind of ran that long.
And by the time like 96, you're like, Jesus, die. When that's I bought a C5 when I was like a child.
Right.
Because when the C5 came out, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, look.
There's
look!
A new
like,
one for finally.
I feel like it's kind of the same with like Corvette C4 to C5 is like BMW E36 to 46. It's just like, it just got so much better that it's like, is it the old one is just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. But if you want to go fast for not a lot, like I just, someone, there was just a C4 ZR1 on Bring a Trailer just sold for 16 grand.
That seems
like,
very
that's
cheap.
Like a crazy amount of car.
That seems very cheap.
Very cheap.
Wow.
Even like an average one, you're in the, is like low
20s.
And that's
amazing.
And you're going fast.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
All right,
James
there you go.
Says, have we used Q3? I'm considering a 2018 ATS-V to replace my Fiesta ST. I want stick, 4 doors, CarPlay, and a trunk that will fit golf clubs.
Of course.
I mean, those are pretty reasonable.
Oh, with the golf clubs. ATS-V is fucking sick. I love that car.
They're good. I hate Q.
I mean,
I drove an ATS-V, and I hated Q when I drove it. Everything else about that car is pretty good, though, except how it sounds. Don't put exhaust on it.
Hmm.
That car's quiet for a reason, because if you make it louder, it only gets worse.
Well, it sounds
worse
really than
fast.
A GTR somehow. Like,
it's so bad.
It's V6. V6s don't really inherently sound good.
Yeah, but they're fast, and they have great chassis, great steering, great ride.
I guess you got to ask yourself, James, how often do you play with the volume or the temperature of your car? If it's real consistent, you'd be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty meteoric upgrade from a Fiesta ST as far as like general driving.
Yeah. The Fiesta ST is great, but it's but as rough. Far as pace and, yeah. you know.
What if you went Chevy SS instead? Interior is not very pretty, Ooh. But it's way more functional. It's like a calculator instead of a bad tablet.
Zach is True. Onto something.
And you don't have to deal with the ATS gauge cluster, which is the worst.
I don't know if That's you can get weird, CarPlay on geez, an like SS.
The flat thing, right?
It's terrible.
Can you get CarPlay on an SS? I don't oh, know if you can. You no, want, I can. It demands CarPlay.
That's right.
That's got to be retrofittable.
It's got to be.
Maybe.
I depends on. I mean, then you have to go aftermarket screening stuff, which you can do.
Yeah, that's
I
a
mean,
whole
you
thing.
Can do, but yeah. that's a thing.
Four doors yeah. CarPlay. That's see the stick four doors CarPlay is where it all kind of falls apart.
Just get one
Golf
of those
R.
Uber driver stick on
get
things.
That stick. Still did,
no DSG.
I don't know.
Wait,
maybe Golf R. If so,
that's,
maybe Golf R.
That's very different from ATS-V.
It is.
But more
that's true. That's very much the enthusiast answer. Like, you know what you should get? Yeah. Something completely different than what you want.
yeah.
With a non-locking true. Trunk that people can see into.
Hey, oh, the only question was, have we used Q3?
Have we, that's true,
All
yeah.
Q sucks.
Yeah. yeah.
It's just, is it worth it? John O. Twist says, if you say bedtime to Baja three times in a mirror, you summon Caswell making a project of whatever's in your garage. There you go.
I turned your toaster into a fucking pre-runner, dude.
Oh, my
Caswell
God.
Caswell sent me a video of him.
Making his Super Coupe thing? I don't know what to make of that, but I'm nervous.
He's short wheelbase to 750, apparently. I don't know why he sent me a video. I'm not going to watch it. You want to watch it? No.
I saw the fast
guy.
Version on YouTube.
I get it. I can see the finished product. I get what you did there. Got very drunk. Drew something and took out a welder.
It's the Caswellian way.
He's like the guy in New Zealand with the AE86.
Yeah.
You know, get drunk and cut body panels off yeah. and then make them out of carbon
These
fiber
guys
in
get,
his oven.
Get wasted. Wow. Do weight reduction.
Because you can buy these like home carbon fiber kits. So he had like an air intake guidance, like some flat thing. I'm like, how'd you do that? And he's like, oh, you can just buy it on the internet and do it in the oven. But
the
then
oven?
He had,
like his oven?
Yeah, but like.
yeah, yeah. These guys make carbon fiber in their ovens.
But like the inner fenders, the same way you used to be able to, what's it called? Powder coat stuff in your
okay.
oven. So he also had like the inner fender wells of his car were gone. We're like, you could see the ground through the end. Like,
it was like shock tower air.
Yeah, and we're like, what do you do? And he's just like, oh, I sit down in the shed and I'll have a beer and then I get my cutting wheel and then I just go, what do I not need? And he was fucking
have you
serious.
Been working on that accent?
It's like going
that was,
to
that
like,
was
that
pretty
really good.
That was a really
that,
good
that
New Zealand accent.
Just
yeah.
like that guy sounded.
That was really good.
He really did that. And he's missing and you look and you hear him say that and you look at the engine bay and go, that's what he does. there's some reason to what he's cut out, but there's also like it's not perfectly planned.
Huh. Seems
That's
bold.
Very funny.
Very
yeah.
bold move. You know, lightweight AE86.
Yeah. Ray loved Andrew's E34 M5 article.
Oh, thanks.
And went to see Alex Roy interview Ed Niedermeyer for his book, which
oh.
was great.
I want to watch that.
When will we have Ed on? Ed has an open invitation when he is in town. I have talked to Ed. He sent me the book, which I read, and we discussed on the show with Kyle, the EV record breaker. I forget
Kyle
Kyle's.
Connor?
Connor. I forget his last name, but yeah. We discussed the book. Do you want my copy, Zach? You can have my copy.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I have two copies, in fact, and maybe I'll give away a copy to a fan if you want it. It's a cool. really good book, Ludicrous, which is a book about Tesla. It's fair and balanced. It is.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The camps are ridiculous right now.
There are no big revelations in Ed's book. All he does, all you have to do with people, I think, like with Tesla, and as well as Trump, and I don't mean Tesla is Trump. I'm just saying there are things about Tesla that are mildly Trumpy. But like, if you just they flood the zone, they flood with information, and you just can't you can't bat them away fast enough. So, but if you step back and you don't look at individual bits of information, but a pattern of what happens, you go, oh, well, that's scammy as fuck. and you're looking at a pattern of established facts. So that's what's in the book. You should check it out.
Okay.
Cool.
Mark says, okay. Hang on a minute.
What do we got?
Okay. He has all these cars, I'm guessing. He has a Raptor, a Land Rover LR4, a GT3 RS, and
Damn.
An AMG GTS. What's next?
Sounds like money is not a problem for this
money
guy.
Money is no issue. Well, he doesn't have any, like, you know, sports sedans in
no,
there.
He doesn't.
He doesn't have like an E63 wagon.
Unless it's a four-door AMG.
RS6 Avant. The new RS6 Avant is next.
Pretty much. That would line up nicely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
Or something old. But,
or something old. That's a good one. Yeah. I think something vintage is more...
Get a Ferrari 308, man.
Ooh. Dive right into the 80s.
Get something wacky.
I think he needs a cool sedan because everything he's got, sports car, off-road,
SUV. Yeah.
I think a fast, cool sedan that's real cush and rides really nice would be really good.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Discuss my... Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then he gave us more money to talk about the last thing.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, either something old, which I like, an old cruiser
that
maybe.
Because
like,
obviously he's got enough cars so he can get to work if, some, right. if something's in the
like
shop.
Like maybe like a 65 Caddy on Detroit Steels.
Ooh,
an airbag,
that could be
something
fun.
Like that. Or like a lowrider on hydraulics.
Something old is a good idea. Because that's got a special smell, feel.
Totally. Yeah. It would be very different. Because like Audi Avant's not going to be that different from his AMG GT like experience-wise.
Yeah.
But... Anyway, that's cool.
There we go. Lucky Nathan says, I got an E46 325i and I want to make more power. Where should I start?
Now you're going to want to buy an M3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the NA mods on those, like, you could do some breathing stuff. I don't even know if someone makes cams for them. Someone probably does, but there's cams for my car, which has a bigger market, are $2,000. Like, they're not, they're expensive.
How much power do you get out of that?
You get 40, 50. I mean, it's like sizable, but it's still for never. I'm not doing
now
it.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do cams, like valves, lifters. You have to do the whole deal,
and
right?
And intake
you
exhaust. Do a lot of stuff. And intake exhaust, system. And you got to get tuned. Like, so I think for you, unless you're going to go turbo and find someone who's built that, just do suspension.
I know we sort of already talked about this, but lightweight wheels and tires, man.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Reduce weight.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dude, go watch the video that I made and then Zach made of a spec E46 on the track and how much fun we were having, and then you get your car as close to that car as you can.
Yes.
Which does not require 100%. A single bit of horsepower mod except for like maybe an exhaust, like basic. It's all chassis, brakes, and that car... The one I drove was a 330, but you could do it with a 325 also, and it was so delightfully balanced and fun. Cool. If I ever built myself a race car that I owned and raced, it would probably be one of these. It was fun as fuck.
Amazing.
Very cool.
Amazing car. Stock powertrain. Like
maybe some poly bushings could be good.
Oh, yeah.
Turner makes the whole kit. Whatever the spec E46 kit is, just get that shit. Nice. Get as close to that
good
as
answer.
You can.
Yeah, bushing stuff.
Yep.
Shout out Powerflex USA and Bimmer World for giving me my bushings.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Luke says, come out to the LMU Auto Club
Neptune
Cruise. Ooh, it's a Neptune's Net. Listen, Luke, I come to your car club show every year. I came this year with the 720. I'll come next year. I'll bring something else. Not driving, you fools.
Is LMU Loyola?
Yeah.
For those watching Loyola, or not in West LA?
I'm sure you're very nice. I'm not driving with you. I don't trust you.
It's fair.
I know how I drove in college.
Exactly. I wouldn't ride near me in college either.
Yeah, literally to the place where the fucking Fast and the Furious race happens? No thanks. I'm just kidding. Shout out to the LMU Auto Club. They do a couple charity events every year,
cool.
And I go and... I don't know how. Go find them somewhere on social media, because next year I'm going to go to their event and bring out the Countach or whatever the fuck. It was just a couple months ago, so it's like next summer.
And they're so young. They'll be like, "What's that?"
Yeah. And then he says again, thoughts on the Aston Martin Rapide. I have a whole video on the Aston Martin Rapide and one on the Rapide S. You can check those out.
Nice.
The Rapide is kind of dumb.
It's a great two-seater.
The back is so comically small in that car.
Oh, my God.
It's beyond unusable.
Do you know the differences between a Rapide and a DB9? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What's the actual length difference? It's got to be like 4 inches.
I think it's 10. It's more than you'd guess, but like, because the seat itself like actually takes up a lot of room. You know what I mean? So...
It's a gorgeous car, but the back
There's
seat
no
really is
space,
you know,
back there.
Yeah,
like none.
They actually do, like, they work okay. Like they don't have a lot of like they pretty Aston yeah, pretty much figured out that formula by then, and like they work all right. They're not like terrible piece of junk, but like
it's for a tense marriage where you have a DB9 and your spouse is like we have kids. Yeah. They need to sit. You can't drive a two door car, and you went all right, and you come back with that.
And then Mark followed up later, the guy who had all those cars and wanted to know, and he wants something funky to daily drive.
Thought the M5 comp sold it.
Funky to daily drive? I mean, dude, there's all kind 60s. Of like...
Go 60s.
I think 80s, too. Like, get yourself a Skyline. R32 Skyline yeah. GTR. That's funky.
Perfect.
Right-hand drive is a really
And you can definitely afford
game.
It.
Yeah, you could definitely afford that. Funky, or get, like, a Volkswagen Bug, or a BMW 2002, or, like, an E30. E30s are fun to daily drive, and they're funky.
Buy an electric Volkswagen from EV West.
There you go.
For real.
Mobbing.
That's the fastest Volkswagen van in the world.
Hell yeah.
And then lastly, car stuff to do.
Car stuff to do.
Near LMU in Santa Monica. Fucking
stop at stoplights.
There's a bunch, actually.
There's Deus Ex.
There's events.
Is that what he means?
I took it as driving, which is unfair.
I thought he just meant like none. Stuff.
There's Manhattan Beach Cars and Coffee. There's, if you go up to like, you know, Malibu Cars and Coffee, Manhattan Beach Cars and Coffee.
There's
El Segundo Cars and Coffee. No, El Segundo does a show twice a year. Marina Del Rey does a car show twice a
year. Culver City does a car show.
The annual. It's mostly low riders, but it's fun.
It's mostly hot rods and
hot riders and low riders. And there's the Motoring Club. Have you guys been over there yet?
What is the Motoring Club?
Yeah, the Motoring Club is like a country club for car people. I don't know. I'm actually a member. I will full disclosure.
Like a social member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically like, it's kind of like Classic Car Club Manhattan, but. They haven't really started their rental fleet yet. It's like a clubhouse.
Are they going to be doing rentals?
They're thinking about it. Oh. I think they're still sort of, it's new. But
it's
basically,
like Deus, but for cars instead of motorcycles.
Exactly. Yeah, they bought like, it's like they've got a big hangar and they've got a coffee and beer, and beer's actually super cheap. And they do like a low-key Cars and Coffee every Sunday, but sometimes they like blow it up and have people. They had like there was a Bugatti carbon fiber EB110 there a while ago. There's like,
oh, I know that guy.
Yeah,
I saw that guy,
Alpha Lux.
Peterson. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it ranges. So sometimes it's kind of low key, and there's and it's just like people hanging out, and sometimes it's like wild. I got a membership because it's like I use it as like co working space because my wife and I both work from home, and that gets a little bit much once in a while. So
it's a great idea. Yeah. I always get depressed every Thursday because I work from home Monday through Friday, basically.
Right. Right. So
yeah.
So it's like you go and you can like sit and drink their coffee and get on Wi-Fi and it's fine. So
there you
I'm
go.
Like yeah. So and there's always cool people there. So it's just like the other day I randomly met some dude who told me about his S2000 and yeah, it's fun. It's good for like yeah, us work from home people who don't have a lot of like necessarily outlets. I think you guys are the first like human beings I've spoken to other than my doctors and wife in the last like two weeks. So it's just like
that's terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, it gets very insular when you're.
It does.
Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah,
the Motoring Club guys are nice guys. That yeah. Viper he's a member there, right? I think
he is. Yeah, I think he might be one of the like founders or one of the people behind.
Me
it.
Me and Vinny were sitting at Bill's. When this guy rolled up and I tapped Vinny and I go, Vinny, I know that car. And Vinny goes, oh, no fucking way. Is that the car? And I go, yeah, that's the fucking car. That is the Hennessy press car.
Oh, really?
That the guy owns. Yeah. All the magazine covers and shit have that car on it. Yeah. Yeah. And we remember that car very well from back in the day.
It's
a
freaking
car.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's a neat car, isn't
it's
it?
Very cool looking. Yeah. So there's their parking lot. Yeah. And that's the inside. Yeah. So there's like obviously a drone shot, just like some random Sunday.
Yeah.
And they do themed events, and that's it. You can like get in there, work on your computer during the week. There's like four or five dudes in there just hanging out. There's like dogs sometimes. Yeah, it's fun. It's cool.
It's
I was talking to one of the guys who runs it. He's like, yeah, we want to get some members. Like, we want to diversify the because they've got as you can imagine, there's a lot of dudes with
a lot
Porsches.
Of white dudes with Porsches.
So we're like, yeah, we're trying to like figure out how to get like non Porsche people. Like, but you know, obviously it's West LA. Most car people have Porsches.
That's like, market. That's not fair. I live in West LA.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't have a Porsche either.
I have
so
a car.
So I'm mixing it up with my shitty old Scout and Mitsubishi. My 300 CX. I'm like,
I'm gonna pull up a photo of
you
your Scout.
You have to park near me.
This is the most Scout picture I've ever seen. It's just
perfect.
Oh yeah, that was zipped. I used ACP Andrew Comrie Picard started the tire company. Not a tire company, tire installation company.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Sorry, he comes to your house and puts new tires in your car?
Yeah, yeah.
He did it for me with
really?
My car. Yep.
Yeah.
Out of like a truck?
They bring a van. It's got, you know, a tire mounting thing and all
really?
That stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Did he come himself?
Great. He did not.
Oh, okay.
He sent a guy who knew exactly what he was doing.
Did Robert hook you up, or was it, do you have a different guy? He sent Robert to put my tires on.
I'm going to see really him tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh? I'm drinking bourbon with him, Johnny, Matt Crook, and Sarah Trimble.
Ah, cool.
It's a good crew. Johnny uses a zip tire a lot. And like
it's
puts
called
on,
zip tie?
It's called zip tire.
Zip tire.
On
not
lot.
Zip tie.
Oh, zip tire.
Zip tire.
Oh. Zip tie is funny.
It is funny.
Zip tie is a funny name, but zip tire is good too.
They were cool. So I had like sort of cool. a convoluted thing because I was ordering my weird wheels and then I wanted to put the tires that were on my Montero onto my Scout. So he had to do like 10 tire changes and he showed up and he's like, oh, okay. But he was really cool about it. It was like,
I did that too because I needed
a lot
like,
of muscle.
I needed drift tires on, you know, whatever wheel on the front wheels and I needed like my mission. So it was like six tire changes, not eight.
It was like a whole
but,
thing.
You know, they were cool about
but,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was nice. And then, I did have like a wheel weight fall off, but they were like, oh, did you like drive it afterwards? And I said no, which I hadn't because I had the tires put. I didn't realize you had to like get
the
like
weight,
drive
like,
a little bit. I don't know. He was like,
yeah,
that's what he said. He was like, yeah, if you don't really like heats, like get them hot and like drive it, it like they don't stick necessarily.
Really?
And also with new wheels, I guess
maybe
it's a problem.
Maybe that's not a problem for most people who drive home from the,
from the tire
shop.
Or like drive. Yeah. Like
it makes sense because the wheel get hot and centrifugal force is forcing the weight into the glue.
So he was very apologetic that it had fallen out and he like came out and fixed it. But because I did the tire change and then mothballed the car for a week and went on vacation and came back and found a wheel weight had fallen off.
Oops.
I was like, damn it.
I drove a car, I put a one take up today, plugging my own shit and E55 AMG.
Ooh,
and I get up to like whatever miles per hour on the road and all of a sudden I feel like, I'm like, there's a little vibration. He goes, yeah, I think like a wheel weight fell off yesterday or something. When I washed it, I was like, okay. And then I get on the brakes and it pulls left. And I was like, it's in the video. I'm like, you know, pulls left under braking. He's like, yeah, I got to kind of figure that out. I'm like, yeah, but like, and it's such a, I think that car is so gorgeous. I think it's such a gorgeous.
What era
sedan.
E55?
It was after the refresh. I got to find the photo.
The four-eyed one.
Yeah, the four-eyed one.
The four-eyed one. But there's two four-eyed ones.
No, the not the correct, boxy the one. Not, the round one.
Okay.
2006.
Yeah.
It was 06.
The roundy
one.
An
old
the supercharged
one,
one.
Oh, man. Everything's all zoomed in and freaked out. But
boy.
I just think it's so pretty. And then also,
there
you know, it didn't break
oh,
my
that,
heart.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Something.
That's the sexy four-eyed one.
It's a sexy four-eyed
Yeah. That's a great-looking car.
Yeah.
Are they expensive still?
I don't think so.
I feel like
they're
probably
know.
Not that bad.
Like,
right?
Like 20 gets you the greatest one out there.
Yeah.
They're cheap.
Yeah. And they still look pretty.
Oh, they look great.
But
everything
by this point, they're all beat.
Correct. Yeah.
Every
probably.
Single one they're, of them's beat.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because they've been cheap for a while. And so
It was like, it wasn't even like, oh, the second owners figured out to beat the shit of them. Like the first owners beat the shit of them. And the second owners beat the shit of them. And the third owners.
Yeah.
You know, they're rough.
I really wanted a W202 C class for a long time, but same deal. They're all so used.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it's a nice thing. You know, the first person buys it, it's expensive, and then it gets passed down.
Right. Of course.
And eventually, it's just like it won't. Someone like me with M3, it's like finally I can have this, and then just destroy it.
Did you see on my Instagram? My friend Cam has one of those R63s.
Oh.
And he put a Weisstech He put a Weisstech supercharger on it. There it is with the hood up. It
these
makes
are
750
great.
Horsepower.
Holy, he's got the right wheels too.
Rear
That's
wheel
sick.
Drive with these giant mono blocks.
Oh,
these
yeah.
are some of the cool. This is one of the coolest cars ever.
Yeah,
for
this
sure.
guy is
wow.
the Cam is the he's the Optima guy. He's like the PR guy for
cool.
Optima
cool.
batteries. How nice and tidy is that install?
That's
dude. It's like super
of course.
Stealth. But it just mobs. And look at the license plate.
I can't see that.
Vanarchy. That's great.
That's great.
What a good car.
Yeah, that's
and the family stickers. The one car it works on.
That's like the first fast crossover. I mean, it's like a van, sort of, but it's more like a tall wagon, you know?
It's
it has captain's chairs. The second row is captain's chairs. Yeah.
That's really cool.
I would love to... I should, actually. We should reach out to Mercedes and ask, like, what was the design mandate? Like, what were you guys... Not in a dick way, but what were you thinking?
That is the nicest way. I'm so glad I heard you say that. Now I know how to nicely say what were you thinking.
What were you
what
guys?
What was the design mandate? Yeah.
Well, I always imagine them in some room and some exec comes in with, like, all right, match these words to, like, these images and bring us a car.
And then I feel like at some point Chrysler went to their designers and said, all right, make the Pacifica this, but you've only got 2 hours.
This thing, no, that Jewish Racing that, right? Gold one is very good.
I mean, let's be real. It's very similar to the Pacifica, the R-Class.
Like, no, when the Pacifica was new, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't.
Oh, you mean the van? I meant the last Pacifica.
Yeah,
I
used to.
I just wanted to pull up a photo for people.
No, when that one came out.
The new one's fine.
This thing.
When that one came out, it wasn't bad.
I don't think that's bad.
No, I remember driving one when it was new. It wasn't bad.
I'm not saying it drove bad. This is when I wished I was a designer.
It was all right.
Really?
Yeah, it was all right.
I think that's okay. It's not amazing.
It was okay. When it was new, it was okay. My friend's dad back in the day got a brand new Chrysler 300M. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Like the real sporty one that had like the body kit and the wheels on it and had the Indiglo gauges.
Oh, God.
That one was it actually drove pretty cool.
It did. My friend's dad, one of these, he got rid of his like Taurus for this, all of which had like fast V6s.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're like, this is sweet.
Can you find the one with the body kit on it? Like the performance one? Like it was like an awesome one. Oh, on the left, it's silver. That up one left. That. So it's a shit picture, but it highlights the difference in the body kit because the body kit was that gray color, no matter what color you got. So unless you got a gray or black car, it actually looked really dumb. But it drove pretty good.
God, that is irredeemably ugly, I think.
Yeah,
that's like a Mazda Millennia that melted.
I'm just
thinking, Millennia was kind of good.
It was, yeah.
This just screams Metamucil to me in so many ways. It's like
bad.
It's smooth and meh, and the person buying it needs fiber. And
what's cooler from that era is like Chrysler Concord, which had that wide mouth.
Concord. The Concord was rough.
And a cool name, too.
Friend's dad had a Concord. It was pretty rough. Had a big ass mouth.
Oh yeah, look at that! It's hungry.
Just screams, God. Rent me.
Yeah.
Well, this was also back when like everything was very round and melted, melted soap looking because that's kind of what
Oldsmobile Alero. They all looked like
that.
Taurus,
like
the Frogger, Taurus.
Was, I don't know. Nothing we made here was
make it go away.
I know.
I'm blind.
Yeah, look right under it. It's like almost related searches. 03, you know, Taurus.
Related searches, cars that look like frogs.
Yeah, that one with the giant mouth, I don't know, I kind of like it.
You could do a piece on big mouth cars that were kind of terrible and yet are charming.
I might.
All right, let's get back on this train and take it to the station here.
Oh,
that was quite well done.
Oh, wasn't it? Rigo says, that's the bourbon. Rigo says, it's possible, oh, wait, hang on. What wording is this? Okay,
Think it's possible.
Is it possible Honda's going to have a new S2000 to compete with the Mark V Supra, considering the Civic Type R and the NSX revival speculation of a formula to make it succeed? I think the answer is no.
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
I think this...
Be cool,
I don't think so. Anything needs to come into the market to compete with the Mark V Supra. That's a super niche product. If Toyota came out with a high-performance crossover that ran for 800,000 miles, then Honda would jump into that.
RAV4 GMR.
I mean, look, the only reason that the Supra has come into existence is because of the partnership with BMW. So Honda would probably have to do that. They have a lot of money. They have all the money. But still, they probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, Toyota was like, we still want to partner on this kind of thing.
Well, they want to make money, not spend money.
Right. So how big is the market really for really fun, you know, two-door coupes of that kind of price point?
But what?
Pretty small.
Yeah. I guess what was the market for CTR, too? That always kind of, I'm always kind of surprised that that car came to life, and not in a bad way, but
I mean, I think it's a limited edition car.
Yeah.
I think don't kid yourself into thinking they need to sell more of them than they do.
Right.
It's overrepresented in the media.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's an awesome car.
It is cool.
But like, how many are they making? Like it's like 1500 a year or something. Yeah. Like, it's not a lot of cars.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? If they didn't say we were going to make 1500 a year, but that's how many they made, you'd be like, bomb. You know what
right.
I mean? But if it's limited to 1500 a year, it's like, whoa.
That's a good point. You think we're going to get a second gen Civic Type R?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll keep making it. I think it's a good look for them.
I see a decent amount of them around LA. Like,
I do see them
more than I would expect.
Yeah. Well, what? They're nice cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a good
car. Have you driven one?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're nice.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's very good.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't think these Rego, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't think they're making a new S2000. I don't see it happening.
I don't think so either.
And if they do, they're going to have to, like, you know,
it'll
go half. They're going to have to go halfsies with somebody.
They
like,
could go electric.
Like
Toyota.
I bet within ten years you'd see an electric S2000.
But then it's not going to be called
S2000.
It's going to be called
something called
else.
Like the S3000. S1.21. S Pi.
It's over 9,000.
S2000 volts.
Oh, and then our friend with the indecision, who's probably drunk by now.
Vanagon, Eurovan, and Safari Hit. All right, sure.
I mean,
why
yeah,
not?
Those Vanagon Eurovans.
Just get the Delica. Yeah, that's better.
Get a Delica.
It's already done.
Yeah. Eurovans aren't that cool. They're front wheel drive.
Yeah.
They're like a Jetta based vehicle.
Yeah.
They're
really, like,
very. They're fine for being RVs, but Safari a front wheel drive.
Get a Sprinter if you want a van. Like, start with a Sprinter. Like, that's what people with money do.
Yeah,
that's true.
Or even a transit. Yeah.
Like, start with a good van.
Get a Mazda MPV at least. Like, that's at least all wheel drive.
Oh, an MPV. There you go. Jeremy Lamb, we're going to finish it out. Last one. Favorite concept car ever?
Ooh, ever? Wow.
He likes the Escala. I think that's the Buick. I think it's the Buick concept, which actually was very, very pretty. Is that what that is? Buick? I think so, right? Cadillac? Oh, it's a Cadillac.
I think that
became the CT6.
That's pretty close. Yeah. Like,
did it, Matt?
I think it did. Pull that up. That's a nice. There was a Cadillac concept I loved called the CN. CIEN.
Oh, yeah. The 16 cylinder one?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that one very much.
This looks a lot like the current S90 Volvo. Like,
it actually does look a lot.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You can't unsee that.
With the hood and
that really
fenders
looks
and the crease
like,
in the back. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot like the S90. I wonder if the same studio did that. No, Volvo has their own studios for sure. They wouldn't be pimping that shit out to Cadillac.
No.
You know what I liked? My favorite concept cars ever. You got to go way back. I liked the Motorama Firebird concepts.
Huh.
The GM Firebird. Actually, no. The Alfa Romeo Bat concepts. There were three of them. Do you remember those?
Yep.
The Alfa Romeo Bat concepts
were
real crazy.
Oh my god!
And just remember these things?
Yeah,
they were.
Oh, I've seen
amazing.
That.
And they like the fins. It was like the ultimate expression of fins. The one in the middle where the fins really curved in. That was the super crazy one.
That is pretty extreme.
Those
when were
good.
These made? Let's see.
I feel like the '50s maybe. Oh, there you go.
Would have been pretty cutting edge for...
They're so cool.
I'm wondering if they saw what like Cadillac was doing and then went, oh, you want to see fins? Or if it was vice versa, like 54.
Yeah, mid-50s.
54.
Wow. Good. Throwing it way back for the concepts. I was going to say the Nissan...
I sneezed my headphones off.
IDX concept. That they're like, we're gonna make this like 510 revival.
That was a really cool
thing. And then they're like, oh, actually, our executives smuggled all the money out. We can't build anything good. Here's the 370Z again. It has stripes now.
Like, we've seen this before. No, this is the new one. Like, why?
But stripes.
But yeah.
But you guys.
Could I interest you in stripes?
But you guys.
This is Nismo. It's
that
different
is,
again.
That's a very
that
cool
was a sweet concept.
Car, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that at one of those shows.
You know what really inspired me as a kid is the Ford Indigo concept.
Hell yeah.
Remember that one?
From Need for Speed 2 or something? Yeah. The Ford
that
Indigo
one was
sweet.
A jam.
Oh,
and
hell
the Indigo
yeah.
actually
yeah.
was a real, in terms of, this was a running driving car. This wasn't just
cool.
some mock-up.
Oh,
this was a running
this.
Driving concept car. Very insano looking.
God, yeah.
And it had a V12 in it that was made of two Ford Mondeo V6s, and
Jesus.
That V12 ending up becoming the Aston Martin V12.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Cool history there.
Yeah, yeah. This was some wild shit in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Same design language as the GT90 Ford concept.
Right.
I remember this being on a magazine when I was a kid, and I was just like, when is this coming out? Yeah. I will buy it. I don't know how.
Yeah. And do you remember the Pontiac Banshee concept, which actually became the... not the Solstice, the Sun. It became the second gen Sunbird and the F body Firebird. But pull up the Pontiac
Sunbird.
The Pontiac Banshee was basically the F body Firebird styling before it got turned into normal cars. No, that's from the 60s. We got to find the 90s one. That one.
Oh my God, I had a toy of that.
Yeah, I did too. I had the model. Go down the bottom row there. That one. That's the
Pontiac Banshee. Yeah. It's like, it's so simple, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Very F-body. 100% see where F-body came from. Yeah.
Wow.
It looks like it'll go 400 miles an hour, though.
It looks like it's got Dracula's haircut.
It does. For people listening, it's like picture an all-red F-body that's stretched, and then just there's this black triangle that runs from the windshield all the way, basically, to the front bumper.
I wonder why they did that.
The hilarious.
Just
right?
What year is that? It kind of accentuates the curve of
it.
Yeah,
it definitely does.
What year is that? No, look, it's on the bottom of that picture. Go back.
88.
88.
Wow.
So, 88.
Yeah. So 88. The F body Firebird didn't come out until 93.
That's the smoothest thing that had ever been drawn.
Oh, yeah.
88 was just angles and rulers. Yeah. And, you know,
that was so definitely.
When I was a kid, my aunt worked at Ford. Can you pull up the Ford Mustang Mach 3 concept? Do you remember this from the 90s?
No. I don't think so.
I believe it's the Mach 3 concept. Yep, that's it. When I was a kid, my aunt worked at Ford. That's it, the red one, second one. Yep.
Whoa.
And my aunt, I flew to their house in Detroit, and my aunt literally brought this home.
No
Drove it home on an M plate when I was like, I don't know, 14 or whatever year this was, 95, 96, because she was the lighting purchaser for all of Ford.
Wow.
And this had the first ever... I think it actually had a concept neon brake light system, because the whole trunk was full of fucking batteries and like hardware and shit to run these crazy tail lights.
Jesus.
But she literally drove the thing home, and we drove it around, and people were like offering us money for it, like all over the place. It was crazy. Yeah, Mustang Mach 3 concept.
For those of you watching at home, it kind of looks like that, like, you know, the 90s. S95.
Yeah, but before.
But not really.
Yeah.
But way cooler.
I think it was from 94, maybe. Like, they took the SN95 and then they futurized
it. I was going to say, did it come out before that? No. Yeah, they futurized an existing car.
It was out at the same time as the 5-liter power. This would have been 94, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was 94.
Ooh, look at the bag. It's crazy.
Like, look at the tail lights, right?
Yeah.
Those are neon tail lights. They were prototypes, and she was trying to decide whether Ford was going to invest money in a prototype neon tail lighting system.
I'm guessing that was a pass in the end.
Well, LEDs ended up coming on, and there was because they could never figure out how to, like, not have a trunk full of batteries.
What's amazing now is cars now have just these huge mouths on them. And, I mean, this is the smallest little inlet.
Little nostril there.
The running horse I've ever seen,
actually drove that around Detroit
That's
for a
crazy.
Night. It was crazy for a 12-year-old to be driving in a concept car.
Wow.
It was really cool. Isn't that
really
cool looking? It's actually pretty good looking.
It is pretty
car.
Good looking. Yeah.
That's I wonder what happened to it.
Yeah, me too.
Where it is.
They should trot that out to Redwood some year.
Oh, my God. Are there any current looking photos of it, Zach? Did you find anything look recent?
I'm sure they didn't crush it. It's probably in a basement somewhere.
It's definitely somewhere.
If you sort by like resolution highest.
Right, yeah.
Like, is there a DSLR image of this car somewhere? Anything? No, it's all stands, huh?
All old stuff.
Well, these are large. These are 2,000
megapixel. Oh, what's that?
Megapixel.
Yeah, where's that one? That's at a car show. It exists.
Yes, it exists.
It still exists. That's a modern photo.
Open yourself. There we go.
That's a modern photo. Yeah. It exists somewhere.
God, look at those rims. Good Lord.
The wheels haven't really aged well.
Good Lord.
I'm not sure those were the wheels that were on it when I drove it. I think it's got rims on it. Are those the wheels that were on it back in the day?
I don't think. No. This has like the
double
spokes.
It's got like
spokes.
Different Mustang-y wheels on it. Yeah, it had like normal Mustang
wheels. It had
wheels
these wheels.
It. Yeah, it had those wheels on it. Yeah.
That looks like a toy.
What wheels it had on it?
It is
had
a toy.
It had the wheels that became the 96 Mustang GT wheels.
Gotcha.
But before they were the Mustang GT wheels from 96. Yeah.
there it is, folks. Cool, that's our man. Show for the night.
And that's
the split fork. Yeah, the split fork design.
Split fork.
It was 2 years before the split fork came out, and that's what it had on it.
Those are different.
Those fucking chromes are terrible. Those have to go. Jeez. Oh, is that? Yeah, there they are.
It almost looks like a fucking Boxster from the side there.
Kinda, right? Oh,
it's got like the Speedster kind of vibe.
Yeah,
going.
Yeah. It was real cool. It was an automatic, which was lame.
Right.
I even as a kid,
I'm impressed it moved under its own power.
Yeah, no, it was a drive. It was a full on driver. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I remember being 12 and being like, it's an automatic, boom. Like everything
well, in the 90s, the performance automatics were sort of like not really a thing even, especially in a Mustang.
No.
I guess, do you think it's computers that, like, because this Indigo, the Indigo, like, they fucking built that. That was a driver. Like why? Like, what was the point? What was any of it about? Like,
why'd they build it?
Yeah, why build a driving concept car like that?
Yeah, God only knows.
I don't know. It could have been developing that engine, and they were just like, we need a test bed for it. It could have been testing manufacturing, kind of like the 3D printed car.
I wonder if it helped them like write off the cost of the engine development on some concept car or something. There's probably some tax play there or something.
Maybe.
Or they just had more money to throw around, and they were like, we can power it.
Maybe 90s Ford was just hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
On the success of the froggy-eyed Taurus.
Yeah, maybe. But that thing was cool.
That Explorer money. That's what it was. How is that Eddie Bauer Explorer
money? Yeah.
How mad is Porsche that they took a wing off the back of a 911 and just flipped it around and put it on the front of a car? Like, I mean, this car has a fwing on it, if people listen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got, lights.
It's kind of like that Panos car, and also, obviously, a little bit of Plymouth Prowler.
Oh, the AIV Panos. The Roadster.
Yes.
You know, my friend Doug Tabbitt's got one of them.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a... Pull up Switch cars real quick. I proposed Doug something today via text. He owns a dealer called Switch Cars out of Ohio.
Okay.
And they have really funny... Just pull up their inventory, because they have the weirdest shit, because Doug is such a fucking crazy man, and his buddy John, and they just buy... They have your normal run-of-the-mill exotics, right? Your Porsche GT3s and your... But then he has, like... mint condition Acura Legends and Dodge Stealths.
Sweet.
And like
Dodge Stealth 91 yeah,
dude pull that over yeah like he buys all this random ass shit and it's got like miles on it and he has a Panos Roadster too.
Wow,
but
look at that thing. You know what, I don't hate it.
That Stealth is great.
This was one of the only newish cars my dad ever admitted to liking, where I saw it, he was like, you know what, I also always liked the Dodge Stealth. Like he and he says it like, I don't know, like a concert he shouldn't have gone to when he was a kid,
right,
or something.
Do you know how good a job they did, and how long it took me as a child to understand that this was the same car as a 3000 GT?
Yeah,
they
that's
made it look
impressive.
So much different that I didn't put it together until I was much older.
It's very different. The whole rear area is.
What else does Doug have in his inventory that's fun? He's got some really strange stuff sometimes.
What we got here?
Mustang, Jaguar XJS. There's the Panos.
The Panos Roadster. Yeah.
That's what
does he want for that
God,
weird
look at
thing?
That fucking
does,
car.
Say, does he have a price on that?
$40,000.
Really?
Yep.
That's a lot of weird for
$40,000.
Very weird.
Yeah. So it basically, it almost looks like a Caterham, but not really.
A Caterham and a hot dog.
Pull up. You know, you gotta get a picture, Zach, of the interior, because it's, you know, there's a, it's got a Mustang Cobra engine in it. It's a 32 valve Mustang Cobra engine. This fucking thing.
It looks like a lot of fun.
It's got good stance.
Where do you see the gauge?
Look at the
pod?
Back. Oh my God, the back is way too retro.
It's
no,
a little Humpty
no.
Dumpty.
It's very.
No.
Is it MG friendly?
It looks like something Jay Peterman would drive in Seinfeld.
It goes a little Alvis in the back.
Oh yeah, no, it's way too much in the back.
Oh my God, it's so, it's got
and
Mustang
those
wheels. Mustang
oh,
wheels,
God.
But can you get it in just a dashboard shot? Is what we really want.
He's
a
got
lot
he's
of
got
photos.
Enough pics.
Get a look at the look
oh,
at the
cool.
Mustang
wow,
the
in
Mustang
the middle.
Cobra gauges and Mustang aircon controls.
It's got to be pretty early for the D-shaped wheel though, because
yeah.
not a lot of people were doing those back
it's
then.
It's a nice wheel, gnarly
yeah,
wheel.
It's pretty nice.
Tiny little shifter. I dig the center console other than the HVAC controls, because
yeah.
that's just clearly Taurus,
right,
Mustang,
right.
everything.
Doug
that's
said it drives
cool
okay,
car.
Actually. He said
yeah.
it drives kind of fun.
I mean, it would be a really fun car to bring to shows. People go nuts.
He has brought it to whatever his local Radwood is. Doug is pretty committed to the Radwood cause.
That's great.
A lot of and Porsches. He's got a lot of Porsches. He's got up ZR1, 1990
ZR1. He has a 90 ZR1?
It was sold.
Oh, nice.
Porsche.
Yeah,
Porsche,
his bread
Porsche.
And butter is Porsches.
Yeah.
I called him today, and I proposed to him that he would sell me a car and for a year. And agree up front
that, assuming it was in the same condition, that he would buy it back, and I would get like I'd buy a 6-speed Ferrari 360 for 5,000 miles for 12 months. And he would agree to buy it back at the end of 12 months. At the end, like it was
basically like a lease,
pretty much
used car lease.
That's
a cool idea.
We'll see what he says.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, the guy who he does the podcast with now,
the collecting cars.
Yeah,
thing?
That guy's like a secondhand dealer. I don't listen to the podcast because I know Chris Harris. People have told me it's a nice show. It's called Collecting Cars Podcast. But he basically, Chris, had a deal with that guy where he would buy cars and then agree to sell them back at a slightly depreciated value 12 months or 18 months. He went through a series of like Ferraris that way. He got like an FF and an F12 and random stuff. And that's how he did it. He did it like for some sort of short
term. Well, that's a good idea for I can't remember the company's name either, because then, you know, they're getting press. But and if the car appreciates, then they benefit, and you know, Chris gets to drive the cool thing for a while.
Yeah, it was above board. It was kosher.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm not saying it was untoward. Anyway, it was that's like seems like a cool relationship, and Chris gets to experience lots of stuff, and you get to live with it, which is
I can afford the depreciation of 5,000 miles on a Ferrari. You know what I mean? But I can't afford like everything else.
You can't afford to buy it first, and then have it depreciate. Yeah.
Right. Few can.
You want to plug anything before we get out of here, dude?
Actually. Yeah, we were recently up at Monticello Motor Club, and we drove Mustang GT 350 NSX and that M Comp X4 M Comp. So the idea was like three cars with similar output but very different setup. And my good friends and colleagues, Kristen Lee, Mike Balbin, Justin Westbrook, and all them, they'll be in that. And that's
video?
Yeah, it's video. Good. So that'll be coming up soon. And then,
nice.
Yeah, man, if people want to hit me up on Instagram, I'm Andrew at Large on the IG. And Andrew.
Look, content like this.
Yeah, exactly.
For Montero.
Junkie
for
old.
For body on frame content like this.
Yeah, it's all junky old cars and stuff I find in junkyards. I'm kind of like devolving into just crappier stuff, but people can enjoy it.
That's what Jalopnik's for, dude.
Yeah.
Is that a Di Tommaso Mangusta out your window there?
That's street art, actually. Oh. Not too far from here.
Street art of a Di Tommaso Mangusta.
Yeah, there's this crazy like 80s car street art on Washington Boulevard.
Really?
But, yeah, near the AutoZone over there.
Oh, we're going to have to go find
that. Yeah, you should check it out.
Oh. There's a Burt Reynolds mural around
yes,
the corner from my
that's
house.
Right.
That
I've
rules.
Seen that. Yeah, so, man. So, tell people to tweet at me and give me some ideas on graphics for my Montero.
Yes.
That'd be fun. Oh, yeah, my Scout. Always making shit.
I think you should
shit.
Go like Alpina.
Oh, really?
Like 80s
yeah,
Alpina.
Like just those little stripes on the side.
I love your Cholo rugs.
Dude, I got those.
I like that you're showing like the DIY. It's like... Buy rug, step two. Scissor rug.
Rug,
step three. Rug is done. Rug is in car.
I really enjoyed making that.
That's literally the photo order for people.
Yeah, exactly.
A photo of a rug on a ground, a photo of scissors, and then the rug is in the car.
Well, you'll notice I cut it perfectly to shape.
You did
so
a good job.
It fits totally in. Yeah, and those seats are like $20 eBay covers that I got a patch from an international harvester like mechanic and like sewed it in so it looks like it's inlaid. I love making really cheap modifications. That's my thing.
There's something cool.
That's
cool
what a
about
Scout is.
The inside,
cool.
Yeah, the inside of my Montero looks like a fucking taxi cab in the
really?
Third world, because I've got
all
these like weird accessories and like I'm always like making shit and like steering wheel covers, and I've got hockey tape on my like hand grabs. I'm just like I can't help myself. That's an old pick. I've got way more shit in there now.
Perfect.
It's like an early 90s
Do you have
website.
A full width mirror up top.
No, I thought must have been a weird photography thing.
Oh, weird reflection.
No, yeah, there you go. There's my
hockey taped. Oh shit! And
it looks good. Come on, and I've got
real,
this.
It's got a real safe. It's yellow hockey tape.
Exactly.
It's got a real safety vibe.
That's an $8 roll of hockey tape.
It's a pocket square for the inside of the car. You know,
I've got the like fuzzy covers on the seat belts,
which are red, not
yellow.
That say
Mitsubishi. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're. Yeah, I can't help myself.
Now I know where you saw that mural on the way to that AutoZone.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what are you? Yeah, roll into the O'Reilly's on Overland, and I'm like, what cheap crap
boy.
Do you guys have? I can't help it. I just like
amazing.
It. I have a horrible taste.
Yes, you do, sir, but you're welcome anytime.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me. Always fun to be here.
Andrew Collins, folks, thanks for listening to us tonight. I'm going back to OSHA school tomorrow, so I don't know. We probably have to record like Oh, we're recording Friday at 12 Pacific with Amy Shackelford and Johnny Valencia. They are, Amy's like an event organizer. She's an automotive social media manager. She's actually a really interesting like person for those thinking about like, what can I do in the car industry that isn't like working on cars or being a photographer or that thing? It's like,
cool.
Amy made up a career for herself and she's very successful at it. So she's very, she's a cool girl. So that's Friday at noon. Thanks for listening, folks. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, and ideally something to say. Good night, everybody.